All right. I'm sorry, guys. I totally forgot that he said that that was there.
Could just go on mute and masturbate.
Why mute?
Oh, god damn.
I'll leave you guys with that.
Someone's masturbating with their vagina.
I knew Jeff would get a I knew Jeff would get a kick out of that.
That was you?
Yeah.
That was Boris.
No, it was me.
No. I don't. I try not to masturbate on these shows until at least the third or fourth.
Oh, yeah. You got to be comfortable. Exactly.
You have to kind of go get into this a little bit slowly. You know, don't want to blow it all on the first show.
Exactly.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 165.
Yeah, I think
that's right. I think that's right. I just
you're correct.
Okay, cool. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hey!
And Jeff Torney.
What up, guys?
And today we have a guest joining us, and he is from the Game Crashers podcast, and his name is Rob ditched us again. So we got the more reliable Game Crasher, and that is David Borisaurus. How you doing, Boris?
Thank you very much. It's actually Oros, but that's all right.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I definitely know Rob in ditching because he was supposed to join me at PAX, but instead left me there to rot on my very lonesome self.
Wow.
So.
Wow. D-bag.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure we talk about him really, really badly on this show. really badly.
He's a good cat, means well. Let's rip on him.
Douche. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Well, my pleasure. I will try not to bring down your show too badly.
I'm sure that's not really possible.
Then I will try to bring down your show really badly.
Anything is an improvement. So
I will consider it my mission then.
Okay. Today we are talking about open and closed platforms. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and then a little bit of news. And afterwards, we will do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So before we start off, let's go around the podcast. And we'll start with Boris today. Boris, what is up? How you doing? How's your week been?
Week's been good. Same old, same old. I'm teaching myself the Unreal Development Kit. So that's
been taking up
a lot of the time that I would normally have been playing games had I had anything to play games on, because my PS3 is still in the shop. And now I have the full lineup of games that I received over Christmas, all shrink-wrapped and lovingly waiting for me to play them. So in the meantime, what I have had some time to distract myself is
making
Super Meat
big
Boy.
Burly guys that say fuck a lot. And PC graphics.
Well, those are all pre-made for the Unreal Development Kit, so I can just drop them into a level and
they're palettes.
Whatever I want.
Yeah, they're all just palette swaps, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right, well, Jeff, what's up with you, man?
Not much. Good to be back, though. It was you know, missed a week and I missed you guys.
Aww.
But it was for good reason, though. I mean, one of the VG Evo. Members, Sasquab actually was in town to visit. He came to Toronto. So him, Zvari, who's also from Toronto, well, close to Toronto, and myself went out for some drinks and stuff. And I won't bore, the listeners with, you know, like all the shenanigans that happened, but one story I have to tell because it's kind of embarrassing and funny at the same time, but we went to this one bar first. It's kind of like, actually, Chris, I think you would have liked it a lot. It's a bar where it's like a microbrewery.
It was a gay bar.
yeah,
love
Chris,
those.
You would have loved
those.
It. But like, they only brew like their own beer. That's the only beer they serve is the ones they brew in-house and stuff like that.
Nice. So, yeah, we got a couple of those down here.
The beer is pretty good. But after a while, we're like, hey, right, let's get out of here. It's kind of a bit, it was really loud. They had the music really loud. And we kind of just wanted to like chill and just kind of talk and stuff. So I was like, well, I know a place that's kind of like up the street a bit. We might have to grab a cab. I don't think it's walking distance. So we pulled up, you know, the cell phones. We're like, okay, by the look of the map, it looks like we're going to have to, it's about a 15 minute walk, but it was so cold that night. We're like, we'll get a cab. So we walk out And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Let's have a smoke. So I was lit up a smoke. We're walking up. And then we're like, well, when we've done this, we'll grab a cab and go from there. So I finish up and we grab a cab. So we hop in. We start, the cab driver starts driving. He's like, where are you guys going? I'm like, oh, we're going to the Elephant Castle. He's like, okay. So he drives for another 2 blocks and goes, wait a second. Which Elephant Castle? And we're like, the one on Gerard Street, whatever. And the cab driver goes, that's exactly where I picked you guys up. And we're like, what? So we're like, motherfucker. So the cab turns around and literally drops us off right where he picked us up, right across the street.
Did he charge you?
How much did that cost?
It was, it ended up being like $5.75 or something like that. And we just couldn't stop fucking laughing. The sad part is, like, I'm from Toronto. Zvari's from, like, Brandwich, just outside Toronto. And, like Bob, he's from Saskatchewan. He doesn't know. So that's like that's a tourist thing to do. But it was, none of it was on him. It was on us. So literally, if we were just like, instead of grabbing the cab, look to our left, we would have seen the bar.
But no, I like the idea.
Please tell me you were sober.
No. We weren't drunk. We're a few drinks in, but we definitely weren't. Well, yeah.
Like the concept, though, of a cab driver saying, no, you gentlemen are too drunk to ride in my cab.
Yeah, $12.50.
Yeah, exactly. He could have taken us like all the way up and been like, okay, yeah, it's way down here. But he was supposed to be like, yeah, he's like, that's where I picked you guys up. And then at this point, we're like, well, we're not going to get out here and walk back, even though it was only like 2 blocks. Like, well, we're too busy laughing. So went to this other bar for a bit and shot the shit and had some more drinks. It was a good time.
Nice.
But cool. Other than that, that's about it.
Trav, what's up, buddy? Stuff.
Not much, dude. So, PAX planning. How are we doing about planning for PAX? We're doing good? Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, somewhere in between here and a week ago, we got tickets for MGC.
Yes. That's right.
Nice. How did that happen?
I'm not sure.
Like, what kind of magic voodoo has Ken and Terry done to us?
I don't know.
But yeah.
He bribed me. He said that he was going to send me t-shirts or something. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't take much, does it?
No. Well,
I want a t-shirt, too. But anyway, no, look, we Chris and I, a couple of days ago, we got our tickets. We'll be hitting up the same flight going up to Wisconsin. Hopefully it's not snowing as bad as it is.
In March, it better not be.
Because last year it was cold as balls. It was really cold last year. No, fuck that. It was really cold last year.
Oh, you're such a pussy.
Dude, no, fuck that. You were even bitching that it was cold. You were shivering in your boots and you were wearing Marquise.
No, that was fucking Atlanta, dude.
No, you were wearing Marquise hat and everything and you were shivering up there. You're like, oh, it's fucking cold up here, dude. Don't play a player.
It was still warmer than fucking Atlanta was in friggin' October or November.
Well, that's different, though, because we broke down on the side of the road in a car with no heat. For like 4 hours.
Anywho,
so that was not a fun adventure.
Hopefully it won't be a snowstorm because that would totally suck.
Yeah, I know that would suck. But we're hitting up MGC. We're still kind of waiting on Jeff to find out what's going on because Jeff, Tanya, and Megan and I, we're all still trying to see if a New York City trip is going to be happening a couple of weeks after that as well.
That's like the week after.
Yeah, so based on how you know monies are with that, we're going to see if Jeff's going to make it. So Jeff make it. We're going to have the entire Indus crew. It'll be the 98%. First time that the entire Indus crew will be together for something that's not
that
Indus
is true.
Fest. Yeah. That's not Indus Fest.
That is true as from the point where you started.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have been, we have made it, we all made it to like the basement bash, but that was me.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was
just yeah,
me,
yeah
but who gives a fuck
that's
about
different.
That? That was old school.
Like MGC, Chrissy didn't make it. And,
yeah.
You know.
It'll be my first MGC, so.
I feel kind of bad because the Game Crashers crew has yet to represent at MGC, but we're still new, so there's still time.
Right.
We've been slacking off a bit.
You basically get a 1 year, like that's your pass for 1 year. After that, you have to have somebody there, or else you're fired.
I had a very good excuse the first year that the reason that we weren't there. So,
well, yeah.
What was exactly. that?
I got married, and Jason was in my medic wedding.
Ah,
no, I.
Why didn't you hold it there?
Yeah, that's what
yeah,
we said.
I'm gonna get the 100 and something people that I invited to my wedding to go up to Wisconsin and have a wedding up there. That's a great idea.
I think so. They'll enjoy the weather.
Yeah, it is Wisconsin. Sure. That is like a big negative, actually.
The question is how much this year is there going to be as much man love as there was as last year because it got kind of scary last year. We've mentioned it a few times.
I think it's going to be worse this year.
Ooh, it's going to be bad. Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yep. There's going to be a lot of people there. So,
yeah.
Yeah. That'll be cool. It'll be fun. Whew.
Anyway, so yeah, MGC is going to be happening, guys. I'm really pumped for it. The hype is here. I'm ready to do it.
More details to come once we nail things out, what we're going to be running and shit. So.
Right. There will be a tournament of a fighting variety. Yeah, there's going to be a fighting tournament, and I think we've talked about Pac-Man Championship Edition DX.
Score Chase.
And Meat Boy. A Super Meat Boy tournament. So we'll
I've been dying to give that
and
one
I can't
a try.
Hear you.
As soon as we get all the planning stages done. But yeah, so, you know, on my end, not much shit is going on, you know, nothing much changed besides what, you know, what Travis said. I'm going to MGC. Hooray! So... without further ado, let's talk about some games. And I know Boris is anxious because he almost, you know, talked about his games earlier. So
I just don't know what your structure is here. I don't know.
I know you never listen to our show. I know.
Lay things out on the line. Hey, I listened to last episode.
Okay.
I listened to it today. Not 15 minutes before I sat down in this seat.
Well, tell us what's distracting you this week, man.
Distracting me this week has been not just the fact that I'm playing Super Meat Boy, but I'm trying to play the rest of the Game Crashers at Super Meat Boy. So basically, I'm going through, and Brian's been a little disappointed in us for not having completed it, and rather going back through the levels we've already played, trying to top each other's times.
Oh, wow.
So I've been trying to balance that out, where I complete a world, and then I go back, and I dominate everybody I know. So right now, I actually have, I think, stage 4-2. If anybody wants to take a look at that, if you have it on Steam, I hold like my time is in the top 200.
Nice.
People who are on there. So I get into it a little bit. So
that's cool.
But
man.
I think it's a good game to get into, man.
Love that.
Oh yeah, that game is amazing, and I'm playing it on Steam, but I'm playing it with a PlayStation controller that I had to jimmy rig to work with Steam. So I had to use third-party drivers and then an Xbox controller emulator, and then I could make everything happen. So
you can't use a controller. Right,
I thought you could just I thought you just plug it in USB and go.
Nope.
Weird.
No, it was giving me a lot of problems.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I actually have apparently Super Meat Boy on Steam, and I haven't played it yet on there.
Well, the thing I think with a lot of the games that are XBLA and then ported over to Steam and computer, things like that, are that when you have the Xbox controller layout, they typically have it really easy to plug in a wired Xbox controller into the computer and just be able to do it that way.
Yeah.
I don't see any other gamepad options on Super Meat Boy, and it wasn't recognizing the PlayStation controller on its own. So anyway, but it works, and I'm kicking some ass. So
cool.
that's been my distraction.
That's it.
Yeah, for now.
Well, his
shit.
He doesn't have a PS2 right now. And...
Oh, yeah, everything else is just sitting on my shelf. I played like a little bit of Greed Corp. I don't know if anybody else has given that a try.
Not yet.
Not yet,
like it's in my queue or something.
Well, it's only $5. I mean, if you really wanted to throw it down a little bit. But what happened was that there was a package deal where I think for maybe $10 or something like that, you got 4 copies. So Sean bought copies for all of us over at Game Crashers.
That's
this
cool.
way, because it very much has a board game setup where you it has a little bit of a civilization setup where it's this hex tile and you mine the tiles and completely destroy the map by the time the game ends. But it's most fun when you're playing against people versus the computer, because there's really no through line. It's just a bunch of different maps strung together. So you want to play with people. So it's a smart idea to have deals like that, where you're able to buy a package for a bunch of people and really be able to enjoy it. I remember when I was working at THQ, I bought like 4 people a copy of Saints Row 2 to make sure that I had somebody to play drop-in, drop-out co-op.
I liked Saints 1. It was awesome, the first one.
I didn't actually play that one. 2 was my first one.
Cool.
That's cool. Well, that's all you got. We'll move over to Travis. What you got, buddy?
Not too much, actually. After I beat Dead Space 2, I didn't go back into it like I was like I said I was going to, because I've been watching more TV lately. I got kind of addicted.
Wow, this isn't what you've been watching that's distracting.
Below me. So anyway, I've been like completely addicted.
Twilight.
I've been completely addicted to the UK version of Skins, and I haven't like not been able to get off that TV show and everything. But when I'm in between watching that show, I have been playing a little bit of stuff between now. Shout out to Jack Bauer. We have a little thread going. So, what's up, bro? Anyway, We have been playing not much. Like I said, I'm trying to really dig deep and think.
Where are you going with
I'm
that?
Trying to like dig deep and
he's,
think.
He's
really
trying to
on.
Stall right now to have somebody else rip control away from him.
Should I cut this out? No, I shouldn't cut this out.
No, of course not.
No, leave it in. Leave it in. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Front Mission 3, picked that up on the cheap on the PSN. Mm-hmm. Been playing that on my PlayStation 3. That game holds up.
Do you have PSN Plus?
No.
Okay, so it just randomly came up. Did it get like a sale or is it just
no,
cheap?
No, it's like
PSN?
$5.99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on the all reg. Right. Yeah, it's pretty it's pretty cheap. It is I had this game back when it was on PS1 and I don't think I was old enough to really appreciate how well that game is. Like, I think at the age I was, the game was just really too much for me, for my feeble little brain. So
I'm trying to figure out what's changed.
I knew someone was going to say it.
I have no other games to play.
So, isn't there a new Front Mission coming
out? I really like this game. Jason and I both were talking about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago before we did an indie stream, and that game really, really, to lend itself to the credit of those developers, that Working game dead. Holds up well.
I'll be honest with you. When they first came out, I really couldn't get into the Front Mission games either, and I'm not sure why either, because I loved like Tactics and Vandal Hearts and those other types of strat RPGs. So I've actually been giving it thought to go back and try it again, but I actually have it on PS1, I think. So
it's
I might
terrific.
Just pop it on
the disc. I think the problem with it that maybe you and I both had, you know, back in the 90s was that I think this game was a little bit before its time. Because there are some pretty this is pre I think this game is pre Final Fantasy Tactics.
I think
I may be wrong.
Maybe I don't remember.
This game really introduced a lot of new stuff to that genre, and I don't know. Like just playing it today, I'm like, wow, this feels like something that could come out today. I mean, graphics aside, because it looks like a PS1 game, it just plays well. The story is serviceable. They have this interesting little meta game going on because you can like the game has its own internet and networks of websites to. And there's a lot of that, and it's kind of like the first time you'd ever seen this at this point in time, like, you know, in the 90s. And that's interesting, and that's still pretty captivating. And just to see that not only on top of not one, but two completely branching storylines over hundreds of hours of gameplay of separate branching storylines, on top of that, developing like just like pages and pages of internet websites, all with just interesting material on what's going on in the world, what's going on in the storyline and everything. It's an interesting game, and it completely holds up. If you have PSN, I mean, I don't know if you have PS Plus, it's cheaper, but it's $5.99, just normal pricing. If you're from that era and you want to have and if you like, you know, these strategy games, strategy RPGs, and you like mechs, I mean, why not?
So no square tax on this one, right?
No, it's $5.99. Cool, you can't beat that. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's almost a must-buy. It's especially if you're kind of missing, like, not JRPGs, but if you're missing kind of like that Squaresoft of the days of yore, it's a great, great...
If you're disappointed with what Square has been putting out lately,
yeah,
you can go back and play this. When they weren't shit.
Right. So,
they did
great.
Guardian of Light, so...
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll give them that.
Also, I've been playing, back on that Squaresoft tip, I've been playing more of Chrono Trigger on the DS before I go to bed every night. Love that game. It's a classic.
How does it play on the DS?
It's fine. I actually like it a little bit better because the actual game screen is not jumbled up with like the health bars and the active mm-hmm. time bars and everything. All that stuff's on a separate screen. Nice. Since you have the dual screens, so the game that when you're actually watching the game, it's just the open screen. It's really nice. I welcome that. I'm jumping into the secret dungeon right now because they only added a couple of things. They added a couple of stuff into the ending to kind of make the ending coincide with what's happening with Chrono Cross, or what had happened in Chrono Cross. And then they also added a 90 level dungeon, 90 like story dungeon. And I'm messing around with that dungeon. It's pretty tough. They have some really tough enemies in there. Like, you have to go through your grind and make your characters good enough. I don't know what what the prize is for completing the dungeon, but it's a lofty goal, nothing I'm going to try to shoot for it. I actually brought it with me. I have my DS right next to me so I can play it on silent during the boring times on the podcast.
Sorry, Wade wasn't listening. I was playing Chrono Trigger.
So yeah. And then the last thing I was playing, I downloaded it today. I'm sure everybody's been playing it a lot that have been listening so far, especially a lot of those, that Zero crew from VG Evo. What? Killzone 3. The beta.
Oh, hey,
yeah.
Because I guess it just went open today, right?
Yeah,
it's went open today. It was supposed to be yesterday. They delayed it for some reason. Fucking Sony, they suck. A whole day we had to wait. Shit. So anyway, it was. I gotta say, it's really good. I had some serious issues with Killzone. Now, in the main issues, I had two main issues, three main issues. Not find 22 issues I had with Killzone 2.
All right, I hate it. God damn it, you brought it out of me. Fuck.
The main issue was serious button lag. It was for me, it was never fixed. Mm-hmm. You shoot somebody with a shotgun, and then a full second later, they'll fall and die. It's like I can't stand that. This is a multiplayer shooter. You're really, really trying to. You're putting a lot of effort, a lot of resources into a multiplayer shooter, and I am not enjoying it one bit. You need to fix that shit right now.
To their own defense, though, have you actually shot someone with a shotgun? They take a long time to go down. Like sometimes you just need to keep unloading in them.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that out. I'm not going to try that out.
You see, that's the initiation process for game crashers.
Oh,
you
just need to...
Have you committed a first degree felony?
Well, this is why it took.
Well, you
so
need
long
to also get
to
away scot free. Yeah, we any of the slower members of the pack.
Oh, so it's not the murdering of another human being. It's the getting away from, you know, getting out of the situation that qualifies you for game crashes.
Exactly. I won't also explain why it is that Rob can't come on the show today.
Oh, motherfucker's off the grid right now. He's, that's awesome. Good for him. So anyway, back to Killzone 3. They fixed the button lag. I mean, not the button lag, but the network lag.
They tightened it up.
They really tightened it up. I think, this is for me personally, I think the gameplay is a little faster.
I think it's a little bit faster. Because I played it when it was closed beta back a while ago. I only played a couple of matches. But yeah, there's definitely some tweaks here that definitely felt better.
Yeah, there's still momentum behind everything that you do.
Yeah,
you
not guys as still, much, though.
You don't feel like that, like a camera with a gun attached to it, and you're just steadily going. You actually have weight. You can tell your person is taking left foot, right foot steps. You know, it feels like that. Your gun sways. There's that momentum. It's something we've talked about on the show before. But the speed's there now, and I really, really like that. And I think that will welcome in some Call of Duty players or some Halo players because those games are pretty speedy. And I think that'll get me into liking Killzone a little bit better. So the speed's better, the network lag is better, the button lag. I felt that every time I tried to shoot there seemed to be like a moment of hesitation before an action actually came. But these are all personal gripes. I know a lot of people like it, and they're gonna say, Travis, what the fuck?
No,
are
it's
talking
no, it's totally
about?
There. Like, well, I'll be talking about another game too that have kind of very much similarities to that game. But we'll get to it later. But no, I think that's not like a gripe. People, I guess when you get used to it, you get used to it. But it's there.
Yeah.
It's
but I know like I'm not the only person that's definitely making these claims.
Yeah, no, you're not at all. It's not like you're a fucking weirdo outside of what you usually are.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Like, well, yeah, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly.
The control scheme kills me, though, man.
Can you not customize it?
Yeah, they pretty sure they changed it. Like, you can customize. Like, what part?
You can't customize, but you can swap from different types of, you know.
Oh, like layouts?
Different layouts, yeah. Tapping in one of the sticks, like R3, I think it is, to go down iron sights, that's not working for me,
dude.
Does
that bother you in Halo, though?
That is not working. It bothers me for Halo. I am a L1 for iron sights, R1 for the trigger. That's how I roll.
I
can't go any other way. And there are presets to change it to the L1 R1, you know, layout type, but there are other buttons that are fucked up. It's like, let me customize it. Mm-hmm. Let me lay down what buttons I want and let me play the game. Well, but that's a gripe for a lot of video games. I wish a lot of first-person shooters would allow that.
Or just keep the same one. I mean, everyone's like Call of Duty and Halo. Basically, those are what people use and what are people used to. So one of the big things, like we all here play different games at different times and multiple games at different times, and nothing worse than going from one first-person shooter going to another one and then totally having to take like two matches to get used to the controls again. It's like, motherfucker.
Right. So, in a nutshell, I probably played like an hour. So not enough to get a full good dive into the game to really talk about it. But first impressions, I'm pretty impressed. I have to touch on the stereoscopic 3D for a second.
Do you have a 3D TV?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, I have not been sold on 3D for gaming. And I'm not still yet 100% completely sold even after playing Killzone on it per se. But aside from Super Stardust HD, which doesn't help Super Stardust. 3D does not help Super Stardust at all. It makes it harder. It looks great. 3D really, really aesthetically makes that game look so good, but you're not going to get high scores with it because you're focusing on the center of the screen and then shit's kind of like popping at you while it's flying at you, and it really fucks up your game.
I was mentioning that game, actually. That was the first game I really sat down in a home on someone's couch and played a considerable amount of Super Stardust HD, and every time I got one of those like really bad, like, oh, it's so close, I'd throw my head back and then I'd look back at the screen, my head wasn't level, I'd wonder why the hell I was having a seizure.
Right.
So yeah. I was like, oh, I need to keep my head straight. All right,
yes, yeah, you definitely do. But the point is, the 3D works and looks really, really good for that game. Killzone 3 is probably the only other game that works for 3D.
Does it cut the frame rate in half, though?
I didn't see that.
Okay. Can you feel it, though? That'll be a big thing, is like for online especially.
I played about four or five games. The first two games, just getting to know the controller, getting used to it without 3D on, and
so
I played pretty decently. But the second two or three games that I played, I had the 3D turned on, and I actually played great games. It did not affect my game for the negative, so I can say that.
Yeah.
It did not affect my gameplay how well I did.
I always love the 3D specifically for platformers, just being able to gauge jumps better, things like that. In a first-person sense, it's cool because you just have the gun and the depth behind it, so long as they actually use the depth correctly.
We know for a fact that, and they talked about this, that this wasn't just something like with Call of Duty, the 3D did not work. It was just tacked on. They just kind of metamorphosized the game in a way just to add 3D. But they put resources to making this game compatible with 3D. And
well, I think one of the ideas also is that when you turn 3D on, it drops the resolution so that they can keep as much going on at the same time.
Oh, yeah, it drops resolution, frames, and everything, all that
but
stuff.
But I will tell you, they really took a lot less emphasis on, like, your gun and your iron sights being all in 3D. Like, it still is a little bit, but it's not as much. They really emphasize on the depth. Like, I got to a point where I swapped my class over to sniper. And being a sniper in 3D is really, really great. It is probably the best experience I had with 3D with Killzone.
That's the last thing I need to do is buy a new fucking TV.
Look, here, let me keep it real for you. It's not the optimum way to play this game. It's not. Playing it without the 3D, playing without move controls, playing with a normal TV, playing with a normal controller is the way to play this game.
Is the way to play it. Yeah.
But I'm just saying that in terms of the 3D technology,
it
does work.
One of the best you've seen so far.
This is the best I've seen so far.
Well, what's amusing to me is that the best 3D that I've seen and have yet to see anything really beat in my mind was back in the day, American McGee's Alice. I just bought myself some stereoscopic glasses and a driver, and it just would render out whatever I was playing. American McGee's Alice, I was able to calibrate to have the best 3D I've seen of any generation yet. Save for maybe the small demo I've seen of Mario Kart on the 3DS, because you're able to adjust it to exactly the depth settings you want.
Oh, that's nice.
That's always my issue, is that the depth settings are kind of per person. People right. get headaches, people have trouble with it, and so a lot of the times the films and games will come up with limits. Well, the separation can't be beyond this because people will cross-eyed and die. Whereas I like to make it as true to real as the proportion of the objects and things that I'm actually looking at really are. That's what I love about Stardust. It looks like a sphere. It looks like it's as wide as it is deep. That's the point. And a lot of games don't do that. I was trying to play the Sly Cooper collection the other day. Mm-hmm. At its highest setting, the entire game has about 6 inches of depth into the screen.
Wow.
It's awful.
Yeah. I can imagine it. I can imagine that. Another issue where that stuff's kind of tacked on. Mm-hmm. You can tell the difference when something's developed for it and when it's kind of added. What else was there? I wanted to go with that. I guess that's pretty much it. That's the only thing else I've been playing. Another thing on the 3D is something that I really do appreciate. Similar to how the 3DS has that little lever where you can,
scale it
to how intense the 3D is. There is actually an option for that as well in Killzone. You can kind of there's from 10% to 100%. You can change it by 10.
You see,
10%
my issue always with that, though, and typically companies will just have it so that 100% is just about good. Not that 100% is over and then you scale it back to where you want it.
Right.
That's one thing I really appreciated on the DS is everything I've seen is that scaling it up to 100% is not comfortable. So you have to bring it back and see where it is that you want it.
Yeah, it's at the point where
do you feel that? Is Chris even here?
I'm here. Okay. I don't have anything to add to 3D TV because I don't...
I know you don't like it, but you tried the 3DS, though. Did you try setting it from, the maximum to,
I played minimum? With it a little bit. I mean, in all honesty, I pretty much did max or min. I didn't really play with anything
in the middle or anything?
Right.
We didn't really have enough time to go into the finer details of making sure that, everything was perfect with it. So it was basically you did... I just went in and did max and min, and that was it.
And then min.
Just
right.
to make sure.
All right, Chris, you can go back to working on your drunken stupor now.
Sweet.
No. Please don't do that because I'm actually going to jump into some Chrono Trigger because I'm done. So, Jeff, go ahead and tell me what you've been playing.
Awesome. Well, first, I'm going to start on some Dead Space 2 action.
Nice.
Okay.
Jump into that. And I was looking forward to that big time. Love the demo. So far, really liking the game. But I know, Travis, you listening last week, you're pretty fond of it. Pretty high praise
Loved
for
it.
The game.
Yeah, it's great.
I love the game. I think it's awesome, but something's just not grabbing me. Usually with single-player games, especially that are only supposed to be, 10 hours long, I usually complete in, 3 days, usually. 3 sittings, maybe, whatever. But this, I have not... I think I played it once this week on, Monday. And the other day, I played Marvel vs. Capcom 2 instead, or I played Halo or Reach one night. And something about it is not grabbing me, and I don't know if it's because the game isn't that much different than the first one, besides being way prettier and more variety, I guess, in the environments. And they change some things with the gameplay, with the weapons. They have alternate fires and stuff like that. And useless weapons are now useful, and they give you reasons to pick up other weapons besides just using the plasma cutter over and over and over again. Which, by the way, I still pretty much do.
I do too. I have the pulse rifle. Just as a backup, if it gets a little too hairy,
if it gets
for me,
crazy, yeah.
But I still use just a plasma cutter. That is probably one of the best weapons in video games. It's
pretty
it's
badass.
Fantastic. Yeah,
I love it.
Playing the first one, I felt like I felt so it was so cool to actually use that plasma gun. I didn't really care about any of the other weapons I picked up.
I always feel like such a schmuck whenever I hear conversations on Dead Space because I'll be sitting here thinking the only one I completed was Extraction on a kid system.
Oh, that's a good game.
I might as well have said I played my younger brother's copy. I mean, seriously. But it's shrink wrapped on my shelf.
I think they added actually more atmosphere to it. If that is even possible. It now reminds me a lot of... I hate saying this because... this is made by Visceral, who made Dante's Inferno. And Dante's Inferno was a good game, but it literally was... They took aspects of every other
God
game...
God of War and Hell.
...in the same genre. Yeah, it was God of War and Hell as parts of, Devil May Cry and whatever. And I'm playing Dead Space 2, and I can't help but think they did the same thing, but it just so happens I like Dead Space 2 better than the games that they're trying to mimic, whereas with Dante's Inferno it was the opposite. They didn't do as well, right, like the other games more. Because I got a really, besides the Resident Evil feel, which like the first one was totally based off, it played almost exactly the same, except for you can move while shooting. I don't know, Travis, I got a huge Bioshock feel from Dead Space. I'm getting a huge Bioshock, like,
and what way?
Vibe, like, from it. The atmosphere, the way that the music playing, the audio logs, all that stuff. It's just like, especially when you go into, close to the beginning of the game, it's not like really spoilers, you go into like this area where it's kind of like a nursery or something. I don't know. And it's playing like the carnival music.
Are you talking about the part where the woman's trying to call the baby over?
I don't think I've got, I've heard about this
twice.
You're
in the nursery. It's one of the first things that happens in the nursery.
Maybe it wasn't the nursery then. Because you know what chapter that would be?
Oh.
Because I'm at chapter 8. And I don't,
6 or something.
The baby is the end boss.
The kids' room. Oh. You're not in the kids' area where all the school?
Yeah. See, I never saw it.
You didn't see the part with the woman calling the baby over?
No, I totally missed that.
How did you not get that?
See, you were the second person that I've heard mention this. And I'm like, maybe I'm not there yet because I don't remember it.
Maybe you're not there. Like it's a part where, because the game's so linear now, you have to go a certain way. You literally, it's so loud, and you hear a woman say, come here. Like, you have to stop and look. It's a big window. You can't miss it.
Really?
So you have to not be there yet.
I gotta find out which chapter, because if it is, I'll go back and play that chapter again.
Like, you drop your jaw. It's like, oh my God, I cannot believe that just
and
happened.
And is it a ghost image, or is it actually
No, it's something that happens.
Okay, then there's... Oh, wait! Yes.
It tells you why
you
need to not get close to the babies.
Yes, never mind. I do remember that now.
Stay away from the babies.
Okay, I have seen that.
I can only imagine.
Well, yeah, I am really liking it, but for some real... I don't know if it's just because I'm more of a multiplayer kick lately and not a single player. I haven't really sat down. Like, I'll play... I think the most I played in a row was, 3 chapters. There's probably about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours of gameplay, something like that. But I'm on chapter 8, and I'll be done with it for sure by the next time we record. Yeah. But I'm digging it.
Last 3 chapters go by pretty fast, so.
Yeah, so you're saying. So what else have I been playing? Playing some Crysis on PC. I installed my my graphics card finally.
Cool.
That I've had for a while. So I can run Crysis on pretty much max settings, except for resolution, and have a good 30 frames. I'd say average 30 frames. Like it goes way above that in some cases and below that in others, but it's definitely playable, which is kind of cool. But I don't really like that game. It's not that fun. So
after all that time and work and money that goes into building a computer that can play that game, even today,
doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Crysis, the first Crysis was more of a tech demo than anything, from what I understand.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think it more or less was. And really, my computer is not expensive, and I didn't put a lot of money into it. Like back in the day when Crysis came out, shit, you had to have a really decent rig to run it at full settings. But mine isn't any big beast or anything, and this game's 4 years old now or something like that, right? So it's not...
Is it that much? I'm not sure.
I think so. Three or 4 years, maybe.
It's
had a couple expansions.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't run at 60 frames at max settings, but...
To Wikipedia!
To Wikipedia you go. But yeah, it can do a decent 30, I think, and around there, depending on what's going on screen, it'll drop or go higher. And it is fucking so good looking, but it's just, if it wasn't just boring, it's just not. It's just, I don't know. But that leads me to Crysis 2, the demo, and please tell me, Travis says,
2007.
Right, 2007? So yeah, well...
Not too bad.
Three and a half years, something like that.
Crysis 2, the beta on 360, because they didn't release one on the PC. Been playing that. Travis, I know you haven't played it. Boris, I don't know if you've had a chance to play it anywhere.
Nope.
No. Visually, looks freaking awesome for a console shooter. It's really, really, really good looking. The textures are really high detailed and really good looking, but there's some pop-up here and there, but I'm not going to focus on the graphics, because it's Crysis. Of course, Crytek are going to put a lot of work into the visuals.
Yeah, I have seen their new engine running on the consoles, because mm-hmm. the Nexus is a Unreal Tournament type of game that uses that engine, and it's freaking gorgeous.
Oh, it's so good looking. Yeah, it's a really good console. They said, I'm pretty sure Crytek said that the the PS3 version does run better, but for some reason the beta is on 360. I'm not sure if it was like some kind of agreement, but even on 360, it could be the best looking first person shooter on 360 anyway.
And I put it up there with that on GLF.
I'd say it's up there even with Killzone 2, because the problem with Killzone 2 is it's got a grain filter and it's very dark, whereas the level you're playing in Crysis 2 Skyline is really bright and during the day and there's no grain filter, but it's still really good looking. But again, there's texture pop in, which Killzone 2 doesn't have. It's kind of hard to say which one overall would look better. It all depends on, I guess, what you prefer. Like,
I guess,
dark,
I guess,
bright, whatever.
You know, what does Killzone 3 look like compared to it then? I mean,
that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's, you'd have to kind of think. And Killzone 3 is the same thing, though. It's really dark, and it's like, it's not an excuse, but having stuff darker, you can hide things. Like, I know Killzone 2 definitely didn't have the best looking texture, especially when you get up close to them. But the Crysis 2 textures, when you get up close to them, are extremely detailed. But, you know, if scaled, if they're not 20 feet in front of you, they're being drawn in as you're walking. So you kind of notice that, especially if you're watching someone play. But this game is fun as hell. I told people it's taking the best out of Halo, Call of Duty, and Killzone and putting it into one. It's like, it's got the perk system and the leveling up and stuff of Call of Duty. It's got the kind of weighty movement and looks of Killzone, but at the same time, you're in the nano suit, which gives you all the things that you'd have in like Halo Reach, like the running, like the speed, the super jumping, the cloaking, and all that stuff that everybody has from the get go. You don't have to unlock it.
Nice.
So you can pull it. You basically have a meter that runs down. You can pick what you want to use at any given time. But the game's got a good sense of verticality to it, because when you super jump or jump, if you go jumping up to a ledge in first person, your character will grab on a ledge and pull up, kind of like a platformer. So you can really move around these levels quickly in ways you can't in other first-person shooters that just aren't possible, because you know, that motion, that verticality gameplay is just not there. But the downside is, like Killzone, I don't know if this is done intentionally, and like Travis is mentioning, there's a little bit of, seems like, input lag in the game. And I'm not sure what's going on there, if that was like to make it feel like it was more weighty, or if that's just a problem with the netcode, or what. Because apparently this isn't in the single-player version, but it's only noticeable in the multiplayer. I wouldn't know if I've never played the single-player, so I can't really comment on that. Another big issue, I can only get into a game one in every eight to ten tries.
What?
Yeah.
That's messed up.
There's a big bug. Not a bug. They said they're going to fix
it. That's a bug.
There's a game coming out. The game's coming out in March. So they said they're going to patch the beta, but they're calling it a beta. Well, let's be realistic. It's a demo. The game comes out really soon. They're going to patch it. But they're saying that it's only happening, we're mostly on wireless connections. But basically, you get into a game, it goes to the loading screen, and it just hard freezes your 360. Like, hard locks. I have to literally turn off my 360 and turn it back on. Yeah, and then when I do get into a game, I'd say, you know, 4 to 5 times when it goes back to the lobby, I get disconnected. So I've really only played about 5 matches out of about 30-something tries, I'd say. It's ridiculous. It's really that bad. But the game is actually a lot of fun. And I'm torn between whether to get this on PC or a console, because the single player I want to play on PC is what I have it like looking the best, but I know I don't like playing multiplayer stuff on PC competitively because I suck keyboard. I'm just terrible with the mouse and keyboard.
You are the first person that I've heard say that they prefer the controller over the mouse and keyboard.
Only because I have not.
You are
just
a
recently
unicorn. You don't exist. Not in the real world.
Jeff and I are in the same boat. Like we.
Yeah.
Just don't like mouse and keyboard.
I just don't like PC.
Guys,
I don't like PC
gaming. I
honestly
don't think that's what it is. I think it's not that you're not good with a mouse and keyboard. It's just that you're so used to the controller, and everybody else is so good with a mouse and a keyboard. You're just not as good as everyone else yet.
Yeah.
So if you had your doppelganger with a controller and yourself with a mouse and keyboard, your controller self would beat you?
Would beat the piss out of me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm terrible. The thing is, Boris, like, I just recently got a computer that can actually play games. Like, I have not played a first-person shooter on a PC in probably about at least 10 years. Like, I can't remember the last one I played on there. Like, when did Half-Life come out? That's probably the last one I played, and Team Fortress. So I have not played with mouse and keyboard since back then. So like, I literally just got my new PC rig at the end of December. So I haven't really played too much. So if I get used to it, yeah, probably would. Because I know I'm not going to be one of those guys who are like, a controller is better. A controller, I just prefer a controller right now because I.
Well, you
not,
have to say that, otherwise you get lynched at events like MGC. So.
No, fuck that. Yeah. I mean,
it's like whatever.
Jeff, don't worry. Like millions and millions of people, millions and millions of PC players are fucking delusional. Okay,
that is true.
Don't get it twisted. I mean, I deal with it because there are games that I have to play with a mouse and keyboard. Like if I want my Minecraft, you know, addiction.
But that's not Twitch though.
For the day. Exactly. It's not Twitch. But I still hate playing with it. That's
well,
the point
you can
I'm
still
to,
play
I
games. You can play games on the PC mapping the keyboard to a controller.
Yeah,
and
but
just
I just
do it
want to
for sure.
Play
and Crysis is compatible with. Like I play Crysis on my PC with a pad.
Right.
Because I cannot play. Like I told these guys, when you watch me play with a mouse and keyboard, it's like watching your girlfriend play a dual stick shooter for the first time in her life. It's like, I can move no problem, or aim and shoot no problem. Get me to do
you
both?
Can't do both, yeah.
Hell no. It ain't happening. So.
The way I used to play back in the day was I would have a gamepad in my left hand and the mouse in the other. So it's like, I kind of was halfway using a controller. Because I like the D-pad. I like having that, and then I have the two shoulder buttons, because it was essentially a knockoff of the PlayStation controller at the time.
Yeah.
So it's just I had a couple of functions I could do on the left side, and then I had my mouse and all the buttons on that on the right side.
Huh.
And I was just dominating with that.
That's an interesting way to do it.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, but outside of that, I mean, and plus I know a lot more people who game on 360 and PS3s, and I find multiplayer more fun on those consoles than on PC. And as much as people say there's a lot of dickheads on Xbox Live, PSN, there seems to be a lot of dickheads on PC. Like, the one time I tried to play Crysis, I was like, right away, it's your first time playing? I'm like, I haven't even fucking moved yet! Like, how the fuck did, like, this, I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna be fun, so, yeah. So I'm kind of
hacked into your
right
webcam.
Now.
I'm watching you, noob.
Exactly. Oh, man. So I'm going to wait for reviews to come out, see which one's the best one. And kind of. Well, I know the PC one's going to be the best one, technically, but we'll see. But it's really good, man. Jazz, hope you get your 360 fixed or get a new one soon, because I think you'd dig it, man. It's a really good mix of, like, Call of Duty-type leveling up with, like, Halo Killzone type gameplay.
Yeah, I was reading a little research on it, like how you play the game, like swapping between the different suit powers on the fly. It seems pretty neat.
It's
I like the
cool.
idea. A little strategy with your first person shooter, and a lot of games don't have that.
Yeah, it's pretty like cool. And the other thing I've been playing, I'm like, won't go into other stuff, is the Bulletstorm demo, which again, I'm not sure if you guys played
it,
Chris,
that,
Boris.
What did you think?
Oh, you
of
did
it?
Play it? I actually really liked it, but I'm afraid of how they can make that last through like an 8-hour experience.
Yeah, it seems like
that's my exact worry with that.
It seems like it's a great demo, but just like a full game, it just seems like it's not going to work. Like the first thing I think of is the club.
Yeah, I never played the club.
I was so hyped about the club, and when they were like advertising for the game and really pushing out like and marketing this game to people, it grabbed me by the heart because I'm like, oh man, like. 12
conceptually,
level,
it's
like,
great.
Like, yeah, like 8 different characters, each with its own storyline. You got to go and you got to like just like kill people and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I got the game day one, and it's a shooter, a third person shooter, and it's all score based. And I'm like, this is not what I've been marketed.
You want to know what's actually really funny?
And that- now, but they're being honest and they're marketing this game to us as a score based game. I'm like, good. Well, now I know that I'm not going to like this game. I don't want to play a game just to try to rack up a score in a first person shooter. That's not
the score based stuff. I've never seen it work as well as it did in 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Because
it honestly, it did a lot of the same stuff, chaining combos together, shooting people in certain ways, using different weapons, and being able to build up bonuses and multipliers that way. But then you still had this ridiculous storyline going through all of it that kept your attention for
like
the 6 hours.
Seems.
But in that game's like, defense, you can take those points and that money, and you can unlock like curse words.
Oh yeah, you can call up your supplier and he can teach you a couple new swear words.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what games need.
Incidentally, the best character to play as in that game is DJ Whoop Kid, just because
who doesn't want to play Whoop Kid? He's like the guy. Oh man, come on.
Dude, His stuff was just, I would just sit there and mash the taunt button endlessly. And I tested that game, and I still couldn't get enough of just his crap that came out of his mouth.
That game was a gem.
So back to Bulletstorm.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, I know it's. I liked it. It's like it focuses more on score and stuff like that. But when you watch the trailers and stuff I've seen online, it does look there's a lot of more substance to the game. Besides it looking like a typical Unreal 3 engine game, I mean, which I'm sure Buddy David has a lot of experience with.
So. Big burly man. I've really never liked the look of the Unreal Engine games.
It's swearing. No, some of them look. Well, the thing is, you'll get all of them kind of look the same. The ones that made by Epic, but then you'll get something like Mass Effect that did not look like that at all, or BioShock, or something like that.
Or Enslaved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Enslaved kind of. Well,
they all have this gloss over everything.
Yeah, and the shadows flicker.
I don't think Enslaved had that gloss though.
It didn't have the gloss, but you could definitely tell. Like right when that booted up, you're like Unreal. Like
I mean, I was amazed to see color for once.
Yeah, true. Not a bunch of browns and gray.
Yeah, it's like there's green and red and I mean, wow.
Yeah, but it Bulletstorm and Crysis put me in another hard spot because I really enjoyed the demo for like the 5 minutes it is or whatever 6 minutes. But man, there's just too many good games coming out, and I have to make a decision because it did sell me. Like at the game right away, I was like, "This is a good game. I'm going to buy it." But then I actually had to sit down and be like, "Okay, well." Is the game going to be more about score chasing and that kind of stuff? Because I'm not really into that. Or is it actually going to have a decent campaign? And then I saw trailers, and of course, yes, you can make any game. You can, like, take people, like, cameras watching us do this podcast and make it look, like, exciting and entertaining in some weird fucking way with input, like, Disturbed in the background. It's like, awesome. But I don't know. I did like it. I'm just a little bit skeptical. So we'll see. Like, did you like it, Chris? Like, I don't know. Like,
I thought I did. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And that's something, that's a lot coming from me, you know, because I don't play first-person shooters. I'm not a big fan. But I just thought that, like, the idea of having the score chase and the different kill combinations you could do, I thought it was a lot of fun, you know? I mean, I suck at it right now. You know, I only played the demo once. And I suck at shooters, at first-person shooters as it is. So I scored, like, at the bottom of my friends list. But I still enjoy doing it.
Yeah, so I'm actually beating
somebody.
What's
that?
Because that was terrible, too. I said, yeah, I'm actually beating somebody because I was at the bottom of mine for a while, too.
Yeah, I think I scored like 3,800 or something like that. But I played it on PSN. Okay. I didn't play it on 360.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, as I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. And, you know, now I can call people dick tits. So.
Yeah, well, it's, yeah. Silent
Hero
Shura.
Can you?
Yes, well, I can, dick tits.
You can. Silent Hero Shura brought up something good on Twitter, and, you know, everyone likes to creep on Twitter. And he's like, how has that not been said yet? Because it seems like it's, like, right smack in your face, like, dick tits. And, yeah. That's good funny. On you, Silent. We won't overuse it, I promise.
Yeah, no kidding.
Dick tits.
And that, that's about it. Let the tally begin.
Outside of the staples, like Street Fighter and some Gran Turismo and Need for Speed and stuff here and there. Marvelous Capcom 2. Get hype for 3. That's about it. And Halo Reach.
All right, cool.
And Travis's mom.
And Travis's mom.
That's a given. That's a given.
I want to see if he's listening.
Let's see. What did I play? I played some more Dragon Quest. I played
Dragon Quest.
Some more Vanquish. Still loving the shit out of Vanquish.
Very good.
But enemies that have one-hit kills are lame.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, very annoying.
And they come out of nowhere because you're used to like enemies that don't, and then all of a sudden you'll be fighting one, and then bam, you're dead.
Yeah,
you're like
pretty much. And these are things that like can climb on ceilings and like go through like air ducts and come out of nowhere and just land on you and basically kill you in one hit. And they're boss characters, so they take forever to kill. So it's that's kind of lame. But game is still fucking fun. It's ridiculously. Action packed and over the top, and if we actually had like a developer of the year for last year, I would give it to Platinum because they released two games that easily should have been on anyone's game of the year list, and that would be Bayonetta and Vanquish. Both of those games were fucking fantastic. So
Bayonetta was at the top of mine.
Yeah, it was at the top of ours, man. Too. We talked about it for a while.
Nice.
Let's see what else. We did Indie Stream last night, Tuesday night, and we played quite a bit. We played, we started out with some Bionic Commando Rearm 2, which
in and of itself is probably pretty good, but the controls are not as good as the first one, which makes me very sad.
What, so that does the jumping detract?
It's not just the jumping, dude. It's like, you know, first of all, there's like this whole biosensor bullshit that you have to like hold down like L2 and move around this little reticule and then hit X to scan something so you can learn how to play the game. So like the tutorial is now this like weird bioscanner thing, and it's just invasive and annoying. And like one of the things that they tell you is like, oh, you can shoot your arm forward and block bullets. In the first one, if you were running forward and you shot your arm out, it shot forward and it blocked bullets. Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you're running and you shoot your arm out, it shoots at a 45-degree angle. The only way that you can shoot your arm out straight is if you duck, and it just it gets in the way. So, I mean, there's a lot of like little nuances about the controls that just make it not as tight as the first one was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I said, in and of itself, it's probably a pretty good game, but I was so saddened at the fact that they fucked up the controls compared to the first one, and they removed all multiplayer. What the fuck is that about? That, you know, Jason and I were just completely crushed.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it becomes a one-time-through single-player experience, exactly. And then you never touch it again.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like when you played the first one co-op, it was a different experience. You know, bosses had to be handled differently, and you know the enemies, there were more enemies that were tougher to beat. The AI was a little better, and that kind of thing. And you know, overall, it was a different experience. Now we've got this single-player experience, and you know, they took out the co-op and you know messed with the controls, and yeah, it was a little disappointing. Let's see what else. Played a little bit of Pac-Man DX. We basically...
Yeah, and apparently you're pretty good at that game.
I'm really good. Not, dude.
Fuck that, dude. I can't play like that. That game, I don't know.
That game's fun. It is, I need to really buy that fun. Still, son of a bitch.
It is really
fun.
Yeah,
as soon as I get a working PlayStation, that's definitely one I need to look into. That and Kung Fu really Live.
I liked Championship Edition. You know, I thought it was pretty good. It just launched as like a PSP mini, so I'm probably going to grab it on there too at one point. But DX is like a completely...
Wait, that kind of dropped as a PSP mini?
Yes. How much? Not DX. Championship.
Yeah,
not DX.
No, Championship. How much?
If DX was the mini, I'd own it right now.
I think it's five. It's got to be at most five. I mean, most of the minis are...
That's pretty awesome,
right?
Man. I would love to play that on the mini. Yeah,
but I think it's only at the European store, so you have to look for it there.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
I don't know. I have to check into that. I haven't looked into it because it's definitely something I want to buy. Maybe I'll do that on break or something like that. But DX is like a completely different monster with just the speed and like the way they like you wake the ghosts up and shit like that. And let me tell you, when you have 30, 40 ghosts like following you around and you grab one of those power pellets and you just take out all of them at one time, that is a really satisfying feeling. It is fucking cool. So, I mean, we just basically played that while Vanquish was installing, because we played Vanquish on the stream too. And then last thing I played this week, which we also played on the stream, was a little bit of Castlevania HD. Konami or Microsoft or whoever, you really need to put that DLC on sale, because I want to buy it. It's just too expensive, because there's some really, really cool shit.
So what is Castlevania HD on?
It's on 360 only. And it's...
Don't let the HD fool you.
Yeah, it's not actually an HD. HD is Harmony of Despair. That's what HD stands for.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
When we played on the stream, you know, Jason was like, I've got a couple things I need to show you. It's going to get you back into this game. And I was like, all right, cool.
Dude, I think it's going to get a lot of people back. Shadow Hado was in there. He's like, he downloaded all that shit afterwards. Oh, I was watching, like, oh, man, I need to get down all that shit.
One of the stages is the entire first Castlevania game. I mean, that is fucking awesome. And, you know, I started playing it, and you know, I'm just grabbed Simon Belmont because he downloaded Simon Belmont. And Simon Belmont is the old school 8-bit Simon Belmont.
You know? Oh, no way.
That shit is badass. So,
seriously?
Yeah, seriously. He's the old school 8-bit one. And so I'm running around with Simon Belmont playing the original Castlevania on in Harmony of Despair. And I just thought it was like really, really cool. And then the next thing he loaded up was he played Richter in one of the larger areas in the beginning of Symphony of the Night. And I mean, at that point, I'm like, I need to get back into this game.
And the DLC is just so fucking expensive. Real quick, can I say,
Joe, I want to jump in front of you. Can I say fuck you, Chris? Because when we were first talking about this game, I was like, just give me Simon in Belmont and I'll be happy. And you're like, no, you can't do that because they just have to redraw him. They couldn't put him in there.
Shit, I thought they would. But they seriously just took the old 8-bit version and stuck
and
him,
threw him in there.
Honestly, you know there's no other way they should have done it.
And that's right. And you know what? I honestly wasn't sure how I would feel about that, but it really worked. I mean, they added some frames here and there because they needed to. You know,
well, they have to for the animation.
They had to add some animation frames, and I don't know what they added, as if they added any like for his walking or whatever. But you know, he has a slide now, so they had to add some frames for that. And you know, he's got like a downward.
Well, just put
kick.
His death animation and put it horizontal so he can move it.
But they did a really good job of it. It was pretty elegant.
It was funny watching the stream because I was watching earlier when you guys were playing Bionic Commando, and. I was thinking like I could barely hear you guys after a while, and Jason was worried because it was like the levels. I was like, I don't think so, man, because when I came back and you guys were playing Castlevania, you guys are just more enthusiastic and you're just talking louder normally. And it's like Bionic Commando totally deflated you guys, and then Castlevania
brought us back.
Yeah, it was like a shot of adrenaline.
Oh man,
it was pretty funny.
Jason was so fucking excited about being able to use Richter. I mean, I thought he was gonna cream his pants and have to go change. But so today I started playing it again, and I downloaded the Symphony of the Night level that we were playing, which was it Lord of the Flies, I think. And then I also downloaded Maria, which was in Rondo of Blood, and she was also in Symphony of the Night. To my
Saturn version,
slight disappointment, the version of Maria that's in this game is actually the version of Maria that's in Rondo of Blood. I was actually really hoping they would put the Symphony of the Night version in her because she. Is, you know, at that point, like I don't know if you guys have ever played Rondo of Blood or Dracula X Chronicles, but Maria is a younger girl. She's like maybe in her younger teens or something like that.
Yeah, not surprising.
Right. And, Japanese you know, game. Once, when you get to the point, she might even be younger than that. When you get to Symphony of the Night, she's older and she's more mature and she just, and this, you know, but overall the sprite looks better and her moves are cooler and like, In the version on PSP, her moves are really cool. The Saturn version, they were kind of meh. But that's the version I wanted them to put in, is the version that they have in the PSP version of Symphony of the Night. But they stuck with the Turbo Duo version of Rondo of Blood. And it's still cool because, you know, in Rondo of Blood, she's a badass. I mean, she's actually easier to beat the game with than Richter is. So, you know, I used her on the first stage real quick just to get used to playing as her. And then I used her on the Lord of the Flies stage as well. And so I'm back into this game.
Cool.
I want to actually make a night to play this game every week. I really do.
Nice. That was one of the only games, like all four of us were playing that one night.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Hey, I'm saying Wednesday nights, man. Let's play this game on Wednesday nights.
Let's do it.
9 o'clock,
Wednesday.
We'll play for a couple
brother
hours.
Brother needs an Xbox, so.
Well, yeah, that's true. Dude, you just have the worst luck, man. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, I'm done.
What happened to yours?
He red ringed again.
He red ringed.
Like twice in 2 months.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Let's see. I should be talking.
I played a little bit more of Dungeon Defenders on my phone, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much it. I mean, probably the thing that I was most excited about this week is now Castlevania. I mean, I'm back into Harmony of Despair, and you know, as I said, I really just want Microsoft to put all that DLC on sale because I will just buy it all. I will buy it all. The only reason I didn't buy more than I did today is because I only had like 1,000 points on my. I only had like 600 points on my live account. So, but I have another 1,600 point
cool
card coming.
Yay!
Yeah, it's like a never ending trap.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything else?
That is it. So
let's talk some news.
Let's talk some news. What do you got, Jeff?
There's
you got
some
something?
News. One, Dark Souls. Announced.
I was going to mention this. I'm so glad that you mentioned this, dude.
Namco Bandai is going to be publishing it. I know it's coming out for both 360 and PS3.
Didn't you call that?
I did, but someone told me that someone said that this was kind of out there before as like Project Dark or something like
that. Yeah, Project Dark.
It's but not
yeah,
see, really. I didn't know that. I honestly, like, swear on my balls, I had no idea about that at all.
Yeah, until last because I had heard a long time ago that Project Dark had been like canned or something like that, and I got really disappointed. I had no idea they brought it back as this.
Yeah, it came back, and it's basically the successor. It's not a direct sequel. It's going to be in a totally different world and everything.
Look at sequels in the terms of look at Final Fantasy One and then Final Fantasy.
No, it is a sequel.
Sequel.
I just mean it's not. I mean it's in a totally different world.
Do I have to break
out
the phrase? Don't make me do it.
That's all I'm saying.
Don't make me spiritual. It's a spiritual successor. That's what it is.
No, I think it's more of a sequel.
No, it's a sequel, dog. Have you seen? They released screenshots today. It
looks like
a sequel.
It does look like a sequel. It does.
But I think it doesn't continue the story.
Someone mentioned that like Demon's Souls was kind of sort of a Sony property.
Yeah, apparently they.
So now Dark Souls doesn't have to be. So they can bring it multi-platform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. There's no.
And they're not going away. They haven't said anything like it's going to be easier. I think it's going to be the same thing. They came out and said it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a game built on trial and error, where it's going to teach the player how to play the game and all that stuff. If they don't play it that way, then you
trial,
die and you get frustrated.
Trial, error, and a soul-crushing difficulty.
Exactly.
But it's not constant trial and error. If you learn, how the game plays. It takes trial and error to get there.
I think, it's every enemy. I'd say they do a good job of making every enemy different. Like, you can't tell me that you went to a new world and fought the same enemies the same way you fought the enemies in the first.
That's the thing.
That's still trial and error. You got to learn. Yeah, you have to learn what that enemy's going to do.
Everything's a threat. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everything is a threat in that game.
But I don't think trial and error is the point of the game. Trial and error would make that game.
I'm just going by their words, dude. This is what they said. It's not like what I'm saying.
That's the way it is.
Trial, error, demotivation is also a big part of this game.
Yeah, exactly.
My question is, are they going to stick with the I mean, they said they're going to make some changes to how you level up.
I know the big problem
that you're
going to
say
right now.
What are they going to do to make it kind of similar to like these roguelikes and everything? You know, are they going to go back to that soul system to where, you know, you die, you can go back to it? But the thing is, there's no hub stage anymore, so that's some changes about it. It's like all one big dynamic world.
Yeah, it's not going to be, So, yeah. I'm interested.
I'm interested too, man.
Who knows when it's coming out, though? There's no release date at all. But hopefully this year, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I would like it.
Cool. One other thing I want to say before you guys get to yours is Marvel's Capcom 3 coming out soon.
What
up? 8-player lobbies. Hook it up.
Is it 8-player lobbies? That's pretty cool.
8-player lobbies.
I didn't know that.
But
awesome.
You know what's going to happen, Chris? Me and you are going to have a fucking match. We're going to be fighting it on. And then, you know, you might beat my ass. And I'm going to go back to the lobby. I'm going to fight Travis. But I can't watch you guys fight.
Oh, no.
So wait. So what do you see when we're fighting?
Lobby. And people's names, and we can hopefully chat. Hopefully,
so what's
I mean, you
point?
Don't know it's Capcom.
Okay, guys. Okay, I'm fighting Chris right now. Okay, I kicked him.
Yeah.
I'm swapping over to Wesker. I'm Wesker now. Shit! No. Okay, no. I'm outmatched. Hold on. I'm going back to Wolverine. Okay, I'm Wolverine again.
Nothing is more exciting than a game of Marvel versus Capcom by description.
Yeah, for real.
The radio series.
I will give some, like, dude, the person who can actually do that and call out everything that's happening, props to them.
Yeah, because that game moves
punch
way
kicks,
too
which
fast,
character?
Dude.
Super move.
Yeah,
that game moves way too fast.
He's mashing the buttons.
But
he's mashing the
challenge button. Accepted.
Apparently, this is on. It was actually brought out. Actually, not by. It was by a blogger, I guess, who has. I should have wrote down the name, but he basically has a review copy of the game and is doing like a early preview, not review, and just saying what's involved. And he's saying that Capcom did say they're going to patch it in spectator mode. But I mean, knowing Capcom. Everyone thought they were going to do that with Street Fighter 4, is add in lobbies, because they said they're going to look into it, but we didn't see it till Super Street Fighter 4. So I'm kind of skeptical right now, and that was like, that sucks, because we were just playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 last night, and that's got like 6 people lobbies, and you spectator mode, and Super Street Fighter 4, lobbies, spectator mode. I don't know what's going on, why they can't get it straight, but that's a big deal. To me and to a lot of other people that are playing Marvel Capcom, like Anatech's a big fighting game fan, and that's like you learn a lot by watching other matches live, and taking that out is kind of it's heartbreaking, I guess. But let's have faith, glasses half full. maybe they will patch in the spectator mode, but it's definitely right now it's speculation.
So you know, we don't.
Really no, it's not speculation. It's
oh, we know for a fact that
it doesn't have. Yeah, he's got like a review, like a retail copy, and it does not have spectator mode. Well, yeah, I'll send you the link.
Okay.
What do you mean? Did I see it?
Like, is this a dude you never heard of?
Is that like, no? He works for like a... he works for something. It's not like IGN or like Giant Bomb or anything like that. It's not like something like that, but he has quotes in there from Capcom saying that they will patch it. So it's like, I don't know. No one has confirmed nor denied it, but I haven't seen anything from Capcom. So no, there is spectator mode. I haven't seen anyone speak out of any other big retailer saying, "Hey, there is spectator mode." And knowing Capcom and their history with online, I wouldn't not believe it.
So remember, listeners, write your congressman. Make sure we get this shit in here.
Yeah, seriously. Start an online petition. Those work amazingly.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Every time.
Yeah. Worked for Betty White.
That's just...
Stickers.
What else we got? Anyone else? I don't know. That's all. Those are the two big ones for me that I was like, fuck, worth commenting on.
I don't have much. I have one thing that I wanted to bring up. It's not really a news story per se, but I thought it was pretty cool, okay. So I wanted to mention it.
Right.
Did you guys hear about this this chick, Ashley, whose dog apparently knocked over her 360 and scratched the hell out of her Dead Space 2 disc?
Okay.
Retarded,
but yeah.
Well, let me just go ahead and
apparently
read this.
Even dogs hate Dead Space 2.
let me just go ahead and read this. What's scarier than Dead Space 2? A dog knocks over your Xbox 360 while finally getting to play Dead Space 2. A bad dog did just that to Dead Space fan Ashley, and much like many of us would do. She headed to Twitter to express her sadness. She says that she was excited for the release of the sequel and that her bad doggy ruined that for her. The folks at EA saw Ashley's tweet and asked her for her address. She sent it along, not knowing what to expect. Then yesterday, a package showed up at Ashley's door, and the above-pictured contents, which is a framed version of a custom drawing of the dude from Dead Space pointing at the dog saying, "Bad doggy," and a dead 360 on the ground.
They got that together in like a day?
And as well, I'm sure it took longer than a day, as well as a new copy of the game signed by everyone on the team.
Oh, wow.
This is what was sent to her. So Visceral replaced her dog damaged copy with a fancy new one signed by the staff. Also included
Good
was an adorable sketch scolding that damn dog. So,
everyone knock over your Xboxes.
And that's the only thing. I have a feeling that we're going to get that people are going to try and take advantage of this and start doing shit like this. But, you know, regardless of that, this is a really cool thing for them to do.
That is really cool. Well, that is pretty awesome.
That is, I like it when companies do that, but then you always have, exactly like you said, the copycats are trying to write the company and do the same thing. There was a while ago that somebody wrote like a Nintendo asking about like, I would love to have a DS sometime. It was some like sixth grader working on some like business letter writing assignment. So they sent her one. And it's just like, they got inundated with people just asking for a free DS flat out. You're like, no, we did it once.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to get a lot of people that are asking for stuff like this, but they're going to turn them all down. You know?
Oh, yeah.
This is like a once every once in a while kind of thing. You know, I have a feeling that this will happen again, but we're not going to see it for a while. But regardless, you know, I'll send you guys the link. You know, the picture is actually pretty cool. And, you know, it's, you know, just the fact that they got together and they did this, pretty good stuff. And especially when, you know, well, in my opinion, it's because Microsoft didn't make their system well enough, so it didn't scratch your fucking disc up. You know, so. But, cool stuff. So that's all I've got for news. I didn't really see anything else interesting.
All right. Dude, anything else?
I'm good.
Well,
I got one more.
All right.
I got games coming out in 2011 for Kinect.
Who
gives a shit?
Yeah, I can see that coming.
I give no shit.
And that's your news.
That is your news. All right.
Are there any? Like, I don't necessarily believe you.
I just saw on like IGN. I'm like, I saw Kinect Games 2011. Right when I saw that, I was like, I don't care.
No, Twisted Pixel did announce a Kinect game.
Actually, that game does look cool.
It looked kind of cool. Right.
Twisted Pixel, I trust.
Yeah, I'm but okay I'm not going to go out and buy a $150 piece of equipment to buy a $5 game for it. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
True dat, home. Let's take a break.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about open versus closed platforms, and we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Word up.
It's time to wake up.
Winner of 17 fictional awards. Possibly more, I'm not really too sure. Because they're fictional, you see. Hailed as the greatest technical and artistic achievement of all humankind.
Yeah, that's totally the greatest technical and artistic achievement known to man, like.
See what I mean? People freaking love us.
Aw, freaking love you guys.
We've almost caused car crashes because we're that good.
I almost crashed my car because of you. What you got there, but I like it?
Absolutely nothing, my friend. Just enjoy Down to Vortex from VG Evo. Oh, and iTunes as well.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be
back. I'm here too.
And he's back.
They haven't dropped me yet.
We discussed it and we figured, you know, we'd at least let you, you know, complete the show. That's probably a big thing for you.
We didn't even let Justin McElroy finish the show when he was on. So you're lucky we let you finish.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Well, in all honesty, I think Boris is actually talking more than Justin McElroy did. So.
Dude, my cat has talked more.
All right, so we are talking about open versus closed platforms today. We did not get a whole lot of response for this. I think people were intimidated by the question. But we're going to go ahead and talk about it anyway. But Travis is going to give us our email, and we're going to go from there.
All right. Sean Recupido says, for computers,
what's
I prefer.
Sean?
Yeah, what's up? For computers, I prefer open platforms, no doubt about it. Linux is my go-to OS because of the flexibility it gives me. If it wasn't for douchebags who would pirate or cheat, then no doubt I would prefer open platforms on consoles as well. But since I do most of my gaming and competitive multiplayer, I'm going to say I prefer closed platforms on systems with online multiplayer. Since I don't play PC games, I don't care about that really. When it comes to hardware, I definitely prefer open platforms as well. I'm looking at you, Microsoft. Why can't people just put a standard 2.5-inch laptop drive console and flash it with firmware? I know you've done it before. I've seen it. I know you can. I've done it before buying a Slim. But it would be so much more accessible for everyone if it was officially supported. And what the fuck is up with Sony inventing a different version of flash memory all the time? Personally, I would be happy if they would use regular SD cards, because if you upgrade your memory card, then you really don't have anything else you can do with the old one. So in conclusion, I believe hardware should conform the standards so we don't have to buy the overpriced proprietary hardware, and that open platforms should be encouraged as long as it doesn't lead to cheating and piracy.
That was a very good email.
All right.
He covered a lot of stuff in there.
All right. So
I can touch on the Sony and their choice of memory in terms of like flash memory and everything. Sony has always had their own types of digital media
storage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've always had that, and that'll always be so. They have to have everything proprietary. That's just Sony's way. Like, this started way back with like mini discs, and those flopped. And they literally have the most in the history of anything electronic. They have the most flops in media storage.
In the history of history.
Exactly. That's how Blu-ray's doing good though. Yeah, but they still have the most failed. Look at UMDs.
Betamax.
They definitely have the most failed. Yeah, for sure.
But at the very least, with like the flash memory is used across their line of stuff. You can use it in the TVs and in the still cameras and the video cameras. Like, they have a memory card is still useful. Whereas all these other things only had one purpose and one use. And that becomes the same problem as having the proprietary drive on like the Xbox, things like that. It becomes no different.
Yeah, and it's not, but it's not just Sony that's doing it. I mean,
yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
I mean,
not.
Fujifilm cameras use XD memory. It's like it's completely different. Or they used to. I mean, they may have converted over to SD now, but I mean, it's
and that's the thing. SD is the uncommon. most widely used type of flash memory. I mean, everybody should just conform and just use SD cards, and that should be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion. I mean, my honestly. I'm using SD cards in my my PSP.
Wait, what?
What was that?
How? I have a little memory stick duo that you can actually insert
two SD micro cards
into it. Okay. So I have a 32 gig memory stick in my my PSP 2000. And the reason is because it's a memory stick that has two 16 gig SD cards in it.
So you have cheaper cards.
I have inside. A cheaper 32 gig. Yes, I have a cheaper
32 gig. Yeah, because those Pro Duos are not cheap.
No, they aren't.
They are pricey.
That's the other thing. Drop the price of your shit.
Yeah.
Especially that goes for Microsoft too. Drop the price of your shit.
Yeah, well, that's the supply and demand, man. That's the When you're just proprietary and you know people buy your hardware, you have every right to every reason to pump those prices up.
And that's the thing. Business. It's like I actually got into a discussion with someone and we were having an argument about like the 360 hard drives and whether they were worth the price that they were charging for, and of course they're not. Of course they're not.
How much are they anyway? Just as a base.
Well, they've dropped now. I think it's like 150 for the 250 gig hard drive or something like that. But you know, back when you know the 20 gig hard drive was $100.
Yeah.
You know, you pay for the convenience of just being able to plug and play. It's like, fuck the convenience. Give me a wire. I'll hook it up to the damn thing. Transfer the memory and let me put my own hard drive in. Just like
you can pay a whore for a lot of different things. It doesn't make her enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean it's you know there's ways to make things convenient and still make them reasonable. Like, I mean, I think that the way that Sony handled the hard drive in the PS3 was actually very, very smart. You know, there's an easy, mm-hmm. you know, backup utility, there's an easy restore utility. Granted, it'll take you 2 days to do both of those. And then, you know, you just switch drives and you restore and it works. You know, and you know, I've changed my hard drive once already. I've got to change it again. And that's, you know, it's a very elegant and, you know, cost effective way towards the consumer to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
He also got into like Linux. I don't know if any of you guys have messed with Linux.
I'm not that's too familiar like, with
that's
it.
That's fucking
I'm
Greek
not
to me.
With it at all.
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole thing, like the whole Geohot thing with PS3 and like
being able to install your own operating system.
Yeah, right. And they did that because of that. And like, because PS3 has been known to be more open than the 360.
Right.
Because Microsoft basically is like, no, it ain't going to be open. Whatever you want to put up on our system and want to be downloaded, it's got to go through us first, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and okay, we had a discussion, I guess it was two shows ago because it wasn't the last one. Apparently, well, you guys told me that what happened with the PS3 like firmware is that you don't have to mod anything. Someone can basically go in the back end of your system and just could fuck with it technically, or fuck with, I guess, their firmware.
Basically, what it gives them, it's like when it comes to actually like rooting a system, mm-hmm. and that's the term that they're using for the hack that's out there for the PS3.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to like basically any system outside of like Windows, all right? The equivalent to root access is the same thing as logging into a computer as an administrator, all right?
Okay.
You have access to all of the hardware, all of the software, everything. So like they can do whatever the hell they want in there. And that's what they did to the PS3.
This is my question, is like where my stance would be. Microsoft, I know you can mod the hell out of an Xbox 360. That's
well,
been around
you can
for
hack
a few
Xbox
years now. Yeah, well, you can like mod it. You can actually like get you put everything where you can like basically burn anything, do whatever you want, like burn games, do all that kind of like pirating and stuff like that.
But what you can't do is install your own custom software.
True.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, is the reason before that between one is being open concept and the other being closed?
It's just the level of you know how deep they got into the system. You know, they haven't acquired that administration rights with the 360 yet. You know, it's something that happened on the PS3 and has happened on the PSP, and it's been that way for a while. Yeah. You know, so that they have the ability.
It's not really related to the fact that they're more of an open system as opposed to a closed system.
I don't think so. I don't think so because I wouldn't say that would be true about. Like I think it's more of just like a software issue in general, you know, and the fact that they have like firmware updates on things and stuff like that. I think the firmware updates give them a good in, and you know there's software updates on the 360, but
why hasn't anyone done that on 360 or Wii then? That's my question.
That's the thing. I don't think they have access to that. I don't think that they actually flash the firmware of the system. I think it's just like a software update.
Okay. And that has nothing to do with it being closed versus open.
I don't think so. I'm not sure I really don't think that has anything to do with it. Because, you know, in that respect, the PS3 is a closed system. You know, it's you don't have access to all that stuff.
No, you don't. But I'm talking more in the way of, like, I guess community type stuff, like Unreal Tournament, like mods and stuff like that. And that's why Valve has finally opened up and been like, hey, you know, PS3 isn't that bad of a machine because we can do what we're doing on the PC over here, but we can't do it on the 360.
And that's more of a situation of the PlayStation Network being more open.
Okay.
So, you know, because and it's more of like Sony's decision. It's like Sony had made the decision to have this more flexible online network where, you know, third-party brands could come in and they could say, hey, we want to run our shit on our own servers. Hey, we want to do this. Hey, we want to do that. And, yeah. I mean, granted, what Valve is doing is taking it a step further. I mean, they're raising the bar with what they're doing on PS3 right now, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm going to be interested to see where it leads because, you know, we talked about this in our prediction show. I really see... You know, there's an opportunity here for Valve to go a lot farther with this now that they've gotten their foot in the door.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that being said,
I love the idea.
I
love the idea of just being able to have that cross-platform opportunity with something like Portal 2. It just amazes me that it wasn't something that happened at Microsoft first, just because they're both computers. Well, it did, but Shadowrun, you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, for something that people would actually play.
Okay, well, that's objective.
Well,
that's
Shadowrun was a game that actually, you know, it was a Windows Live
game, you could play it against PC. Yeah, it was PC versus 360.
Yeah, and it did really, really well. I'm just...
It still relates to the point, though. The quality of the game, as a matter of fact, it was still done, and they let it happen. Yeah. And I don't think
that was still a control issue. Microsoft still had control of that because Shadowrun was a game
for Windows
Live
game.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, for sure, definitely.
Microsoft won't give Valve access to their network, so that they could integrate Steam options on their shit. I just don't. It's like the same thing. It's like there's. And this is one news topic that I didn't cover in news because it's topical for this, you know, question of the week.
Yeah.
Sony has come out and they've talked about how they would like to see PlayStation Suite come across other platforms besides Android.
Yeah, I love that. That's brilliant.
They specifically mentioned iOS, which will never happen because Apple will not let some sort of like this network on like this like network opportunity on their system. They want to control all that. They want everything to be through the App Store. Everything has to be through the App Store. So now Sony's saying, hey, we want to put these PSN features on your iPhone. It'll never happen. Will never happen.
Well, I mean, could PSN theoretically make an app for the iPhone?
That's the thing. You would still be... It'd be more than an app because now you're looking at something that not only would you need to... it would need to, you know, allow them to go online, make purchases, download those games, and then play those games through PS Suite. So it's literally a new network within it. It's like having Game Center and then having PSN on the same device. You know?
Well, are there any services and so on that you can download to the App Store that have their own purchases associated with them?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
It doesn't seem like an impossible idea, but I agree with you. It probably won't happen.
It's definitely not an impossible idea. It's just something that I don't think Apple will allow. I think Apple is so, like, controlling
on the
content.
Well, they're more like a Microsoft. They're like the same kind of thing.
Yeah, they're so controlling about the content that goes onto their iOS platform that they're just not going to allow PS Suite on there. I mean, that's just my opinion. And because think about it this way. If PS Suite gets on the iPhone, right? Okay, so now PS Suite is on iPhone, it's on Android, and it's on PlayStation Portable 2.
Yeah, that's a pretty big domination.
That's a big domination. And now, you know, people are paying, like Sony is you know, obviously got some sort of agreement with Google or whatever they're doing to get PS Suite on Android. But they would have to have a similar agreement for the iOS stuff. And if you have PlayStation Suite on all of those platforms, what is your motivation to make a game specifically for the iPhone? What's your motivation?
Right.
You make it for PS Suite, it works for all three. Who gives a shit? You know? And at that point,
they may be able to work something out where you still have to sell it through the app store. It's just
Sony still gets a cut. Sony will still get a cut. And Apple won't let – I just can't see Apple letting that happen. Right now, they have that mobile platform under wraps, man. They are just like on top of it. They've got apps coming out their ass, and they are making shit tons of money off of it. And I don't see them like opening up and allowing Sony a piece of that cut in order to get Suite on there.
Here's the flip side of that. What exactly is to stop the developers of these apps to make multi-platform versions? It's just like Apple doesn't actually own the rights to any of the stuff that's on there. It's a marketplace.
Right. However,
and Angry Birds is across everything. I mean, it's like it's the sort of thing that if something comes out on this, it's a matter of how much work is it to make it multi-platform. If I make something on the Suite, if I can release it in all three places, great. If I have to make it separately on the Suite and then again on the iOS, it's still plausible to do. It's just an extra step in the process.
Here's my thought process on this. All right, and let me just go back a minute. Okay. So if the Suite is on everything, then a lot of developers are going to say, well, I can develop it just for iPhone, or I can develop it for PlayStation Suite, and it goes across three different platforms. All right,
yeah.
If that happens, Sony takes their cut. Yeah. Right, they're going to take their cut if it hits the iPhone. They're going to take their cut if it hits an Android platform. All right. Right now, Apple has the mobile. I am an Android user. I love my Android phone, but there is no doubt in my mind that the iOS is the when it comes to games, it is the dominant platform out there. So, what is their motivation to even bring PS Suite on when they can make more money by having people just develop straight for iOS? Then, if they want to go make it for PlayStation Suite, what do they care? They already got their 30%.
Well, at the same point, like there are a lot of people out there. Let's say you're right. We can get on from this, but let's look down the line where PS Suite enables for Android phones and for the PSP 2 and whatever else they decided to let the Suite work on. I would say that there are as many, if not more, Android capable phones than there are iPhones swirling around the marketplace. It's a similar market.
There are more Android phones on the market than iPhones. That's already been said. However, you also have to look at iPod touches. The iOS platform is larger.
Yeah, but still, you have to make separate games when you're making something on the iPad versus the iPhone, because then you're dealing with different resolutions and different functionality.
Well, they expand, though, don't they? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I'm sure you can use one on the other, but to make an iPad game versus an iPhone game, I don't consider them the same thing.
Okay.
Just frankly. But when a developer looks, okay, I can make this on the iPhone or I can make it on the PlayStation Suite, which will hit a larger market, I feel like people will start using the Suite more than just going over the iPhone.
I agree with you, but my thought process is less than that they'll use the suite more than it is like iOS platform, like game makers. Those developers mm-hmm. are now going to look more at PlayStation Suite to exactly, migrate their yeah. games over there. But the what I'm getting at is they're still going to make them for iPhone, regardless of whether or yeah. not PlayStation oh, yeah, Suite yeah. is on there. So what is the motivation for Apple to bring PS Suite onto the iPhone when they're going to make 30% off of the games that are developed for iPhone or less than that for things that are PlayStation Suite because Sony has
well,
to take
it their depends.
Cut.
It depends how much of a hit they take to begin with. Because if things are being developed first on the PlayStation Suite and then moved over to the iPhone, they're already losing out.
True.
If everything comes out at the same time, they may be able to recoup some of what would initially be lost by being the secondary console that it comes to, platform that it comes to. Who knows? Down the line, it may make sense, but in the beginning, you're right. It doesn't make sense to allow them to let it come out on all three at the same time.
Right. And on a similar token, they could always like the chunk that Sony would take, they could actually take that out of the developer's profits as opposed to the cut that they would take, which would suck. Right. I mean, that would be a dickish thing to do. That would be a dick tits thing to do, but you know,
that
it's something that they could technically do. So
yeah, technically, but at the same point, I feel like Sony's taking a stand here and saying, okay, making this easy for developers, easy for development is enticing people to make stuff and make apps that are competing in price with what's on the iPhone. Because I think that's the right now the biggest disconnect that they have to pay attention to is the pricing. If I can buy dollar, if I can buy Angry Birds for a dollar over here and it's $5 on PlayStation, well, that's 500%.
Yeah, or it's free on Android. It's like, what's my motivation to get it on a platform that actually has, from what I understand, what's my motivation to get it on like the PSP, which is a platform that doesn't have a touch screen and it doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, the game doesn't work as well. I mean, I heard Terry talking about it on Amplify Gamers, and you have to move the stick, like mm-hmm. the direction you want to hit the button. You have to hit like X to fire the bird. So
somebody told me the best way that you could do that with the D-pad analog stick and so on is have like Worms Control, where you pick the angle and then you pick the intensity of the shot and then you fire it that way. That's really the only way you can make the catapult game like that work with that setup. But either way,
I think the way that they do it actually does work pretty well. It's just not what everybody's used to. So. Yeah, I mean, you move the analog stick in the direction that you want, and then when you get to the spot where you are, you hit the button, and that's great. The problem is that the actual analog nub is not very accurate, so that's where you get into the
issues. I thought about it for a second. I'm just like, no, I would not want to or be able to. But
especially
anyway.
For the price that they're asking. Is it $5 on there?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's either anywhere from like $3 to $5, and that's too much as far as I'm concerned for something that already has a price point that's way better elsewhere. Now what I'm concerned about with the PlayStation Suite is, are they really going to be doing as much of the same standardization and certification process that they would on something like the PS3 right now and the PlayStation Network right now, because that would limit their ability to have apps that are potentially free. And they really do need to tap into that market more in order to be able to compete with Android and iPhone to really be considered, okay, this is something that is in the present app market, because the old app market is getting more into like what the PSN is with okay, the same games are coming out for $5 and $10. I just don't see that working well in a future tense.
I guess it really depends on what kind of certification program that Sony is going to put in place. I mean, they did mention in their press conference that there was going to be something. So, mm-hmm. you know, we can assume that there's going to be some sort of quality control there. But yeah,
but I have
you're
to
right.
assume
I mean,
that
they,
it's minimal.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty minimal in order to keep the prices down, like you said. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's – I guess we're not going to really know that until PlayStation Suite hits. And you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
They said it's going to hit in a few months. And, you know, we're going to hear – about the Xperia Play or whatever that fucking PSP phone was pretty soon.
Yeah.
We might get more information about the suite when that hits, but you mm-hmm. know, right now it's right now we're all we're doing is speculating, right? So
yeah, basically. yeah, but to the same degree, it's like I feel like that end is going to be where things are far more open now. And even I want to say, and I want to hopefully say that it will be more open than the presentation that Apple has right now, where it's just there are so many different devices that can play the same games, and it allows people and developers to just make ideas and get them to the widest audience possible. Right. Whereas the inverse is right, I think, for coming up with the console games and so on. Like, there really should be large and closed certification processes for that to make sure that these $60 titles are of the quality that they should be.
Yeah, and with titles that are that large, I completely agree.
Smaller titles, as open as possible, console stuff, keep it closed.
Hey! I just want to make sure you guys knew what we were still here.
Two cents.
Yeah, no, that's basically.
Jeff and I have been quiet.
I haven't been saying enough lately. My boys.
We're like, we're talking about first-person shooters or sports games, so we're like,
we've completely pulled Travis and Jeff out of their zone.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. The first half of the episode, I felt like I was out of my zone because none of these games I was playing, and I can't play any of them. And then the ones that were like old PS1 things, I'm like, I haven't played Castlevania in such a long time since Symphony.
That's all you need, bro.
That's all you need. But it doesn't make for very good conversation talking about this stuff.
Yes, it does. I'll talk about Symphony all day. I will talk about Symphony all fucking day. I beat that game 6 times.
Unfortunately, Symphony and Magic on the reg, and it's got to stop.
All right, how about a voicemail?
I love it. Let's...
That's what she said.
All right, so how about a voicemail?
Yeah.
Woo. Why not?
This is from JG92.
I've been waiting for one for like 10 minutes. I can't wait.
He actually sent us a voicemail that was 8 minutes long.
Okay.
And I was like, if you sent me a voicemail 8 minutes long, I'm not going to play it. So you might want to cut it down. He cut it down to 1:26. So obviously there was a lot of filler in there. Here we go.
That's a lot of and ums.
Half of it was just his rendition of Bohemian Rhapsody.
So. I'm glad he cut it down then.
Hey then, this is JD92 here, and this is a revised voicemail for the one I sent in a few days ago, because I think that one was like 8 minutes long, so I'm going to try cut it down and just get the bare basic stuff of what that voicemail was. okay, so open and close platforms. For Android or iOS, because Android just seems to have a lot more freedom, but the iOS just seems to be, this is the rules, stick by them. Android's just like, make up your own rules. Well, he has some rules. Bend them if you want. PS3 to Xbox. PS3 is more like consumer, like orientated. Like, he has our product. It's compatible with anything you want, like Bluetooth headsets, hard drives. Xbox, on the other hand, is just like, you bought our stuff, keep buying our stuff. Like, be loyal to us, not other people. And as for like XBL and PSN I prefer because it's obviously free, and that's really all I can say, really. and I'll rush this, but that was because I was trying to cut down from 8 minutes. I just rambled in the last one. Okay, thanks, Ennis. Talk to you later.
Okay, so
now, before we get onto that, you need to either listeners listen to that back, or you or Chris, you can play it back now. But imagine now he's in the context, he's hiding in the closet from the robot overlord that has his family trapped in the next room. He's trying really quiet to record this message while being silent, but occasionally has to pause because one of the drones is passing by. And they make a really high-pitched squeak as they move past. So,
yeah,
I was kind of thinking
JG
it was like a nose whistle.
That there was a high-pitched sound in it, and I tried to remove it, but apparently it didn't get removed. So we spent a little break of like 8 minutes for that was me trying to remove the shit, and it didn't get removed. So that was completely pointless. But anyway,
hey, and I JG, like the idea hey, that JG. If you had him not re-record it, we could have just played the 8 minutes, and it would have taken us the same amount of time.
Am I the only one who didn't hear that?
JG, from me to you, buddy. Yeah. Fuck him. I love the voicemail. Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I loved it. I didn't hear no high pitched squeak. That's why I'm thinking.
That's fine.
Something's weird.
That's fine. I hope your family's okay too. I hope you're able to defeat the evil robot overlords.
Save your bullets.
Save your bullets. You'll need them. That's right. Yeah. Use the plasma cutter. all right. So he kind of touched on a little bit of what we gave examples of in like our topic on the on VG Evo. And he starts with, like, Android versus iOS, and he goes, Android's like, here's your rules, bend them. And I can kind of vouch for that because, you know, I know so many people that have rooted their Android phones, and Google's just like, whatever, do what you want. You know, we don't care. We gave you this platform, do what you want with it. You know, the people that give you the strict guidelines are the providers because, you know, the warranty on your phone, as soon as you root your phone – if you bring it back to one of the providers, your warranty is null and void. The good thing is that you can easily just flash the official OS back onto the damn thing. But, you know, that's kind of the thing. I mean, I've got two Android phones in my house, one my wife and one is mine. And I'm at the point where I'm going to flash both of them because you can, you know, you can pick and choose what kind of shit you want to run and increase your battery life. You can, you know, make the phone faster and all kinds of shit. So... yeah, I mean, that's a very good, very, very good way of putting it. It's like, here's some rules, and you can bend them if you want. And that's kind of the way Android works.
Yeah, and I love that, just being able to give that freedom, because this way it makes sure the guys in-house don't have to come up with all of the ideas.
Right.
Let the people. The best ideas are going to be coming from the outside.
What I'm getting at is, where's the downside to this?
Well, the downside is that, all right, so... With the open platform, you know, we're getting a lot of these ROMs that you can put on your phone. And so the downside is that your security is basically gone because, you know,
you can download something that'll fuck up your shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Anyway. That's the thing. You have to be super careful about this kind of shit. I mean, yes, rooting
your
phone.
The more tools you give a person, the more ways they'll find a way to kill themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like when it comes to like the Android OS platform and like rooting your phone and shit like that, there are a ton of pros, okay? But the con is that your phone can just be bricked, and that is a huge con.
Okay,
know?
Well then, I mean, that pretty much made my decision on this whole topic.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing. It's like and that's why I've seen a lot of places that kind of make this distinction, and I'm starting to really agree with it. It's like, the tech-savvy people will prefer Android phones. The non-tech-savvy people will go after the iPhone because the iPhone's easier. And that
I love my Android, man. Like, I really, really like it. It's my favorite phone I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, it's
especially with all the stuff you can do with it. But come November, when my free upgrade is up, I'm getting the iPhone on Verizon.
Yeah, because you are the kind of person that just wants the easy shit.
I'm kind of the same way. Don't want the easy shit. I just don't want my shit being fucked with, like, especially on a game console.
And that's why you do your research. That's why you do your research about it.
Yeah, but most people aren't going to do that. Like, if we're talking in terms of like a game company, like we're talking like PS3, 360, Wii type shit. Like 90% of the people out there aren't going to do that. They expect their stuff to be secure.
Right, but see, you guys know us, so you know me.
Well,
and Jason,
no. Well,
so
yes, yeah, I understand. I understand that. Like, I would definitely go to you guys if I asked for like to do anything like that, but. In terms of like having like on a console, I think like having the open thing is not a good idea. And
I agree,
you know
that.
What? Even on fucking like phones, I'd say the same thing. It's like, look how many people have Android phones. Look how many people have fucking iPhone. Like Android phones are like they're like right up there. Aren't they even like? Isn't there even more Android phones out there right now than?
Yeah, there's more Android phones than iPhones right now.
Yeah, I'd be fucking pissed if I saw like some kind of app and I fucking downloaded it and it bricked my phone.
Oh yeah,
and
that's the thing. It's
livid.
Like, that's why, you know, there's respected communities to go to get stuff like this.
But
like,
there's
an
entire
community of Android developers that work on like specific ROMs for Android phones to improve performance, to improve battery life, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. But excuse my ignorance for a second here. But how do you download an app on Android? I don't have one.
Normally through
the
market.
Store.
Yeah.
Okay.
App is through the market. Any other thing
so
you can
can
just...
anyone throw something on that market and it could fuck up your phone?
Not
no,
really.
No, the market's tested.
Yeah.
Isn't the market tested?
But do you need the market in order to be able to download something?
No, you don't. You do not need the market in order to download something.
So
just for ease of use, then somebody would just want to stick just to the market and they could get a similar iPhone-esque.
Yeah. If you want an iPhone-esque like experience, then you get an Android phone and you leave it the way it is.
And you leave it the way it is.
You can go through the market and you get your iPhone.
So you have to be somewhat intelligent, like be looking for the stuff you want to do to actually venture into what this...
Not, I mean, it's you can just go on regular websites and just press and hold the link and just save it to your phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you could transfer it from your computer to your phone itself and just get the application from your computer. Yeah.
Honestly, Travis is the only person that I know that has had an Android phone and is now going to iPhone.
I just like the simple. I mean, I like iTunes and stuff like that, so I want that kind of stuff. I like the way. The music is handled there.
Again, this is like something I was going to bring up, but it totally negated by having to do being open and closed. But when that last firmware update came out on PS3, I hesitated to click OK. Because I read an article the day before being like, since it's been hacked, people can throw out fake firmwares.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know if I want to download this because I don't know if it's going to screw up my shit. Mm-hmm. And I would rather it be fucking closed, hard locked, go through the companies that made this shit to have it certified. Like, Nintendo Seal of Quality, man. Like, back when that actually meant something. Like, you know?
Yeah. The thing about that,
Jeff, is
pretty much.
Don't confuse the idea of an open platform.
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to pretend I know.
Hacked a console.
Yeah, I'm not pretending I know. Like, I'm not the most tech-savvy guy, I'm far from it. So I'm not going to pretend I know. That's why I want to make sure, like, what we're talking about here, because, I don't know. Like, I'm all up for, like, when JG mentioned, in terms of hardware stuff, like, the fact that Sony's open to put in your own hard drives, you can hook up Bluetooth, you have any USB device, anything like that, awesome. I am for that 100%. Microsoft proprietary crap is garbage because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have to have like four different fight sticks. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But now, one thing that's interesting is if you look at the way that Sony's kind of directed things, they in rebranding the console, they really kind of changed around what they wanted the console to be and taking away things like the ability to install your own operating system. It sounds like on the flip side, they decided it wasn't as good of an idea to be quite as open. Like, I agree with the hardware stuff that, being able to have all the parts be things you can conceivably find elsewhere, the hard drive and so on, the plug in the back, HDMI cable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Things like that, where it's like, great, but what you can do with the console, it seems like they took a step back and went, like, you know what, let's close that off and get a little bit more control over it.
Yeah.
Since the Slims came out.
Well, no, I think they need to, and not... It's you have to take at some
and
point you have
it's
to
something
like,
they fight with all the time. I mean, look at the way Sony is fighting with it on the PSP. I mean, it's like a new hat comes out and they release something new that tries to block it, and then a new hat comes out and they release something new, and it's a back and forth battle. And you know what's funny about it is that the guy that actually gained root access to the PS3. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, I heard someone talking about this. He basically put something out there. He goes, you know, if you guys want to hire me so I could do this in reverse, I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people got their jobs by being blackmailed into the Pentagon.
Blackmail. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Why not? I was going to say, like what David just said, like that is people have done that with the government. Like if you can't shut down the people that are messing up with your shit, you hire them, get them on your side.
Exactly.
That's what you do. And,
piss them off as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Happens.
And I know, like, Sony had this whole thing with Joe Hadley. They actually, like, have a restraining order against them. They can't touch anything to do with, like, Sony and all that stuff. That's great, but the damage has already been done. It's like, the shit's out there.
Right.
Then,
somebody else is going to do something with it.
And he reverse engineered, like, again, I don't know what I'm talking about per se, but I figured if he actually kind of reverse engineered how they did this, he probably has a way to stop it. Most likely. Maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I know what you're talking about.
that's
in their best interest at this point. I'm not sure if he has that ability or not. I mean, it's very possible
he
does.
We can't really say. It's all assumption. But, I mean, I don't know. It's...
One of the things that
meh.
One of the things that we haven't really talked about much is like PSN versus Xbox Live, about how I mean, it's where like PSN is more, it's not really an open platform where you could do anything you fucking want.
But they're but more
Sony
lenient.
Has opened it's a it up similar to other developers and stuff like that, and like third party developers to allow their own servers, and you know, now Steam is coming out on it, and I mean,
and now Steam is not okay.
Flexibility.
Well, I will argue Steam this to tooth and nail. Steam is not gonna,
coming to
Steam
Portal
connectivity.
2. Steam is going to come to Portal 2,
right? And yeah. That's
it's not going to come to anything else.
And that's a first step. They've already said that they're doing more.
Yeah,
but we'll see
well,
what
here's,
happens.
Here's one thing that Sony has really needed to come out of is the fact that they made the console very like anti-dev, where it was just really difficult to make things for that console. So they really need to come around and show that, okay, this things like are going to be easier from here on out. We're going to be working and helping make this the smoothest process possible for you guys to make things for our devices and through our tools.
Yeah, and I think that they're actually, I mean, I think that like the new version of the PSP, like the PSP 2, the NGP, whatever the hell they're calling it, from what I understand, that is a much easier platform to develop for. So I think they're realizing that they need to do shit that's right for the developers and not do things that's specifically for... look at this hardware that we have.
That's the big thing. And well, Dave, you said you worked for it. I guess did you do testing for Insomniac, or do you actually work for them directly?
Okay, I do testing for them.
You do testing for them. Okay, cool. So I don't know if you can say this on air, like get ready like to cut this out, but I know people that worked for in the PS3 in the beginning days, like did like coding and developing, and they said the tech support was absolutely terrible in the beginning. Like they did not care. Like if you're a third party, you're basically brushed aside and be like, hey, it's first party first, and then we might get... But now it's totally different. They pulled like a total of 180. And now it's like they will give the third parties the tools.
Even if I knew the answer to that, Insomniac? Yeah, I can't judge that with Insomniac because, first of all, I wasn't there early enough in the process to see it. And Insomniac's treated as first party.
That
almost.
Is true. Yeah.
They're kind of like that unusual second party where you know they make most of their stuff for they make all their stuff for Sony right now anyway. I mean they've already announced that they're going multi platform, but you know the relationship
that,
there between Sony.
Like
I mean Sony was on their doorstep day one. I guarantee it, helping them make Resistance. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, yeah, for sure. They needed a killer app for the launch, right?
Yep, so. Exactly.
But people.
Well, it's a good relationship because Sony does a lot of the marketing for them.
For sure, definitely. Yep. But that was their. That was one of the things that slowed them up at the beginning. Was they did not put effort into third party. Like they
it's like on paper they keep talking about how amazing and how powerful this thing is. And it's just like, on paper, get it to work. I remember the first game I ever tested was Turok on the PS3.
Oh, wow.
And like they could never get that working to the same degree that it worked on the Xbox.
Hey, Unreal 3.
Unreal was really the only company was actually able to figure out how to make this stuff work correctly on the PlayStation. Regardless, though, I remember like looking around and I would constantly be bugging up the fact that like all these surfaces didn't have bump mapping texturing on it, and it's like on the 360 you'd walk through the same corridor and it looked fine.
And it's still that way with games that are you know lead platform 360. You still see that. It's like fucking Red Dead Redemption. Look at Red Dead Redemption.
Sorry for regressing for a second here, but I can't remember how we got to this, but how the fuck do we get to where we're talking about right now?
I have no idea. We were talking about second
before we go too much into a rat hole.
Yeah, I think we did.
You brought a game crasher onto your show. Tangents are required.
No, I really think that Jeff started this one.
I think I actually might have. I think I made a comment. And
I drag him out. That's what I do.
Exactly.
Well, cool.
So basically, my test against Rob is to see how long I can bring him off in a direction and see when it is we finally get back.
I think
one of
the
other co-hosts.
Mine was the one. Who was like, wait a second. Open, close networks or systems to, multi-platform games.
So do we have a voicemail?
No, we are done. Do we have you guys want to wrap up? What do you guys prefer?
Travis,
then?
What do you think?
I love it. It's great.
Awesome.
Actually,
Travis,
one thing I will say is that I feel like I believe that the mobile market should be as open as possible to let people just make, create, and have as little of the studio overhead as possible. They can get their cuts on flip sides with the marketplace itself, things like that. Anyway, but that the downloadable content, like the $10, $15 ranged content, should also be as open as they can, just to first of all make the prices as low as they can be to give as much of the profits back to that, and to expand out how the market that the developers themselves can sell these games to, because to obviously $10 titles, all of the success of the company is just being able to get as many different places to download that as possible, and that your console, your library will be all the more better for that, being able to have that. Whereas the retail stuff, the things that are actually sitting on the shelf, need to be as closed as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I can see that.
For sure.
That's a good way to talk about it. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Yeah, because if I say what I'm going to say right now, I'm going to sound whatever.
Oh, no.
That's
go
exactly
for
what
it.
You should
no,
say.
I was going to say, no, it wasn't like this. It comes down to me, the understanding with open and close. Like, you guys are the techie guys. I am totally not. So I totally agree with anything on the retail. It's got to be closed to like mm-hmm. as tight as a freaking like virgin anus. It's got to be like fucking tiny. Like,
oh, just, wow. You did that. Well, I'm on the same page with you. I want to keep everything closed. That's kind of like, you know, we're just on the same page there. If anything would be open,
thanks for saying to me, by
it would
the way.
Be the memory. I would like there to be a consistent type of memory that every console would use,
like storage,
or, mm-hmm. yeah, like yeah, storage, for storage memory? And okay. everything, yeah, yeah, hard drives and, hard drives. And whatnot. That's what I would like to have.
Well,
open
that should because, be standardized stuff. That's
yeah,
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 that's true.
Yeah, but everything else, just platforms themselves. I need those closed.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I don't want a chance of me downloading something on an actual network like PSN, Xbox Live. That could possibly mess up my console.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. at a PC at this point, it's kind of expected. Like, you don't want to go to weird sites where, like, you don't want to be downloading your porn, and you expect stuff. You go to a weird site, something messes up with your computer, it's just going to happen. I don't want that.
So, you mean the sites that you were sending me right before we started the show?
I don't know what you're talking about. I will see okay. the
Come on, yes. you liked the boobs. It's fine.
But exactly. Like, I mean, I appreciate what the open systems are doing. Like, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, I don't think there's any kind of difference between the security between Xbox and PS3 besides, like, because now that Chris and David actually said that it has nothing to do with really the fact that one's open and one's closed, just one just happened to get more hacked than the other one, like backdoor. That's fine and cool. I like what Sony's doing, where how developers can do what they want on that system. That is awesome.
On their network, on the PS network.
On their network, sorry, on their network. On their network. They can like Valve can go in there and do their stuff with Steam, whatever. And like Unreal, like when Unreal Tournament came out, they can put all the mods were on there, like they had like the best mods and all that kind of stuff. You can download them onto your PS3 and play
and
that.
And the entire like all of Little Big Planet. All you know, all the
Oh yeah, well Little
stuff.
Big Planet, that's kinda different. That's kinda like the same thing. You can go, like at that point you're going to like I wouldn't even say XNA, that's like yeah, that's just the way the game is made.
It's right. all the it's game. Like, that's the whole point just, of that game.
It's like it's basically like Trials, but good examples of Trials. Trials HD on 360. You can trade your tracks and stuff you've made and put them online, but only your friends can download them. Which, yeah, that shouldn't be the case, really. I like the way the Little Big Planet is doing that. But at least I feel safe doing either on either one. I'd rather do the Little Big Planet way, where you can just be like, hey, Chris, or fucking anybody, check out this level.
Yeah,
download
exactly. Yeah.
I made a level with boobs.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone can check this out. Because you know what? It's made within the system of what Media Molecule made and set, where it's like it's not going outside of that. That's what they made to make their level. So you know
hey, look.
No one's tampering with it.
Hey, look, Jeff made a level called Lip Slip. Let's see what this is.
That I'm totally cool with. The second it opens too much, where I have to worry on my game consoles that if I download this, am I going to get like a virus? Is my shit going to brick? No. Is my shit going to brick? That should be the title of the show.
Shit brick. Shit brick. Brick and shit. Brick and shit. All right, but so yeah, here's kind of where I am. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I like fucking
you're in Atlanta.
Stuff, all right, so when it comes to my phone, I mean, yeah I'm going to hack my phone. I'm going to root my phone, but, and I'm going to mess around with it, and I'm going to do things to improve performance and stuff like that.
Yes. Which is ridiculous when you think about it. You want to hack shit to improve performance.
Well, yeah, because you know why? Because
it's like
all the and this is for any
your phones
phone.
And shit.
This
don't
is for
need
any
Viagra,
phone. Like, okay, this is for any phone, even the iPhone. Mm-hmm. The provider puts so much bullshit on there that bogs down the system, that it hinders the performance of the phone.
Well, yeah, for sure. It blew my mind. Double Rican and both Scott Gusau from like Gamers Only Older, they had their stuff altered, and. 3G is terrible for downloading stuff. And basically there's a limit apparently that I guess Apple or someone puts on the phone where it's a bandwidth thing. Where if you're downloading like videos or streaming stuff from like YouTube, right. The quality's crap. But they altered their phones. They don't get them in trouble. And it's awesome. It's great. And they do the same way. Yeah, it's on 3G. It's fucking awesome. Like, so why don't they have that open from from when you buy the phone?
Because they
I don't
have
get
to make
it.
Enough room for three G for everyone.
Meh.
Because every company is ultimately run by a board of monkeys.
That's right. when it comes to consoles, I want the operating software of the console to be closed. That is what needs to be closed. As far as like what you can attach to the system, hardware-wise, that should be standardized. That should be open to the consumer to do whatever the fuck he wants. If I have Bluetooth ability on my PS3, I should be able to use whatever the fuck Bluetooth headset I want. And that's exactly how it works.
Honestly, and I feel like the dev tools should be as open as possible. Just to allow people to make things and to categorize. Like if I spend a day making something that doesn't look like much, but it still is, you know, fun enough, have a category like piece of shit apps. Here, come over here. Yeah, exactly. Pay five.
Pay totally five garbage cents that you will laugh at because of how terrible this is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like scratch and scratch crap here. But 5 cents a piece. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. Why not? We're in the day and age of it. Dude, anything's a dollar on anything, people are going to buy it. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the fuck it is.
No problem with that.
When it comes to like the networks, I definitely like the PSN approach better than the Xbox Live approach when it comes to like how third-party developers can interact with that network. They have much more flexibility, it seems, and Sony is much more open to new ideas and allowing, you know, your own servers and stuff like that. And I think that's important to third party developers. And I think they're starting to take note of that.
I don't know. That can work both ways though, dude. Cause I think some look really, cause that's basically their own programming that put it in themselves. When Xbox, they provide that. So it's kind of like that's why games like Dead Nation don't have voice chat.
Right. I'm not saying that the things that Xbox Live has standardized on there shouldn't be standardized, because they should. I mean, things like voice chat, cross-game chat, things like that, all that should be standardized.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like allowing, you know, other third-party companies to do more with your network, that's the kind of thing that should be opened up.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Yeah. No, I just want an example. Okay. Because you said something about more original games. I'm like, that's kind of debatable, like, in terms of the actual games that are on there. But what you can do with your games once they're on there, then yes, totally agree.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. When it comes to, like, what you can do as far as, like, setting up dedicated multiplayer servers and things like that, and I know that, like, 360 does that, but you hear a lot less about it than you do on like PS3. Like PS3 has a lot of games that are on dedicated multiplayer servers.
Well, yeah, because they have to, because it's not built into the infrastructure of PSN.
Well, that's the thing. It's not really built into Live either. Most of Live is peer-to-peer. You know, they have a few games here and there that are dedicated servers. But the thing is that, like, third parties can say, come in and say, hey, I want this to be on a dedicated server. And Sony's like, okay, Microsoft, you have to jump through hoops.
Are we talking PSN titles, though?
No, because... I'm talking about just in general titles on PS3.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was going to say, PSN, like, man, there's not too many PSN titles or Xbox Live arcade titles that would need a dedicated server.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, there's not too many. Yeah, and that's a down thing. It's like, yeah, that's the problem with Xbox Live. It's like, I think EA, Travis, if you're still listening, if you're still awake, I think they might be the only developer, publisher that has the free reign of servers on Xbox. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of EA games run on dedicated servers.
Yeah, they are.
So I don't know why they got, like, the kind of, like, you know, VIP treatment, but somehow they do. But PS3 basically comes down to this: infrastructure's not there. Negative. Good part about that is you want dedicated servers, you have it.
Yeah.
But it's on your onus. You can do it. Go for it.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that as the next generation of consoles, you're going to see the PlayStation Network evolve to more of like the standardized features that are on Xbox Live plus the openness that PSN has right now. So hopefully that's what they do. That would be nice.
They're going to have to. Either one of them are going to have to fold and be
Yeah, both of them are going to have to do the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Anybody else have last words before we move on?
I don't think so.
Have we beaten this horse to death?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we can let this one slip out into the air.
I can definitely tell you that I didn't expect to talk an hour about this shit, so let's move on. Hey, you know, we heard from Repeat.
Hey, did we really?
Big Pete.
Does he have some news for us? Peace Dragon.
As soon as my computer decides to
So there's a couple of interesting titles coming out next week. First up, we have Test Drive Unlimited 2 for the 360 and PS3. So some sort of, I think it's open world sort of driving stuff there. Could be interesting. The first one I heard was pretty decent. For the PS3, we've got Trinity Souls of Zillol something or other. Sort of RPG from Koei. Probably fairly mediocre, but you never know. And for the Wii, we're getting Mario Sports Mix, which, you know, if any of the previous Nintendo sports titles, any indication, they're generally pretty good. This is a collection of multiple sports, so maybe not so much attention paid to each one. We'll have to see. And finally, PSP? The classic trivia game series, You Don't Know Jack, is making a comeback, and that'll be for 360, PS3, Wii, and looks like DS as well.
You don't know Pete?
There you go.
Well, he covered pretty much everything. I had my list up, and he's got... You know, he didn't really miss anything. I actually didn't think Sports Mix was coming out until next week, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm digging You Don't Know Jack, man. I used to play that back in the day.
That was such a great game.
Yeah, it's really
good.
I have never played it.
I have never played it.
It is really? So, dude, it's fucking a great trivia.
It's good trivia.
Yeah.
Is it? It's really good trivia. Are they doing anything for, like, multiplayer, like multiple people playing at once?
Yeah, well, it's basically obviously not going to be two people sharing a fucking keyboard like it was on the PC.
Well, it was up to three people because I think one person was Q, one person was B, and one person was C, and was P.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be, you know, that's the problem. I think it's four people now. It's basically like, you know, consoles, like three SRE, three controllers.
Good.
Yeah. It's going to be good shit, man. Trust
that's
me.
That's going to be fun. We have to get it, on,
awesome.
Get it on PlayStation, so...
So I'm keeping all my trivia on PS3.
Okay,
every
cool.
Trivia game against
PS3. PS3 is the trivia machine.
It is, dude. It is. So it comes down to whatever I buy. Like,
so
I
that,
buzz on that shit.
Is that pick of the week for you guys?
Yeah.
No.
You don't know Jack.
For next week?
Yeah.
Next week? What's next week?
Missing out on something a little bit bigger than that.
Next week?
Yep.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Yeah, You Don't Know Jack. No, I'm just trying to fuck around with you guys.
You were thinking Killzone was next week for a second, were you?
No, Killzone is not for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
emails.
Yeah, I'll go with You Don't Know Jack, even though I haven't played it. But it didn't sound like anything else that really interests me. So. Cool. Travis, what do you got?
All right. Emails. Jack Bauer comes in. Hey guys, quick question for ya. Do you have any in-game habits that annoy you, but yet you do them anyway? For example, in first-person shooter games, I always have a full clip, or have to have a full clip, and open fire, and often fire off a single shot just to give me an excuse to reload.
What?
wouldn't you have a full clip until you fired that bullet?
I think he's saying that it's just like he needs to be doing something, even if like he's walking down an area where like there's not enemies. Like he just needs to be doing something.
Play a first person shooter with Jack, and he's walking around, and he fires a bullet and then reloads, and then fires a bullet and then reloads.
The clip.
I would hate to be in the trenches with that guy. Be like, fuck, what are you doing?
I ran out of bullets. I just needed to start throwing grenades.
No, you didn't. You had a full clip right there. Can I borrow your clip? No.
One thing
I always do is that anytime that I get a kill, I'll immediately reload without checking the environment for more people trying to kill me. So a lot of the times I'll be like, I killed that one guy. Whoop, the guy behind him. I can't shoot him right now because I'm reloading. And then I get killed all the time that way.
This isn't very general. It's kind of specific to a game. Grand Theft Auto 4, there was in the first apartment that Nico Bellic gets, kind of the trashy one that he shared with his cousin. Every time that you stepped out, whenever you saved, and then you reloaded back into the apartment, and you go outside during the daytime, there's always right across the street, like a preacher, he's evangelizing, like he's evangelizing the word. Is like, people, you know, just doing all, whatever the shit they do, and I always killed him.
The first thing you do when you start your day off, have a nice bowl of cereal up in your apartment, come downstairs, shoot the guy,
and capped him. I just capped that bitch on the reg, and he always came back, and I shot him every time.
How many bullet wounds to the head can you survive?
For me, it's like there's two that I can think of, and they're both relatively broad.
Playing White Knight Chronicles?
No. playing any RPG.
Who the hell would want to do that?
Me. Playing an RPG, when I get to like a new like shop or something like that, and it has equipment new equipment that makes my characters more powerful. If I don't have enough money to buy all the equipment that I can in there, I will like go outside the town or whatever and grind until I can get enough money to go in there and buy that equipment before I move on.
Well, mm-hmm. Is that that's just how you play the game, though. I mean,
right, but
well, in theory,
and
you could move
like,
on a little
to do
bit.
That.
And
it's
then
just
backtrack.
Something that I always do, and it dates back to when it dates back to like Phantasy Star 2, where most of Phantasy Star 2 was the fact that you were grinding half the game, and a lot of the games don't need to do that anymore, but I still do it. So it's kind of this like annoying habit that I never got out of. So.
I used to never sell anything in RPGs. Like, I would always keep everything to be like, well, I don't know when I'm going to need this.
Dude,
thing.
I am the exact same way. And that's
serious?
Why I think I don't like them. No, dude, for real. I think I'm
man.
Boris, I'm the same freaking way, dude.
Well, I got over it.
Oh, okay.
I
can't get over that. Whenever I get anything in an RPG, even like with Demon's Souls, any kind of RPG, I'm like, I know it says you can sell this in the shop for money. I'm like, no, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to be that item that beats that boss that's going to fucking drive me nuts later, so
yeah,
I'm going to hold
this
on
is gonna,
to it.
You need that base level sword because that's the only thing that can penetrate his defenses.
Dude, exactly. And that's a stigma. I cannot – you know what? I cannot get that out of my head, dude. It's like a hoarding thing. I need to hold everything because I know – it's like – no word of a lie. I do the same thing with first-person shooters, like playing campaigns. When I get a rocket launcher, I'm like – I'm gonna hold
I don't want to use it.
Yet.
I don't want to use it yet.
Yeah.
I want to keep it for what I need.
You have to fight something
and
big.
Then you're like, you're fighting this giant robot with a pea shooter because you don't want to use your rocket launcher.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you beat the game and
never used it. Dude, that's exactly it, dude.
I'm that way too with that.
Anal comes that shit. I'm like, no, I have to hold. No, I'm not going to do
you
this.
You see, I started playing in the inverse. I start using the larger weapons first and then I scale down because then I'll replay. replenish ammo for the bigger stuff as I move along.
That's what I'm actually doing right now with Vanquish, Jeff, because of the whole upgrade system thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that I got my heavy machine gun and my assault rifle upgraded all the way as quickly as possible. So I would walk around and I would use my third weapon the entire time. And whenever it ran out, I would just pick up another third weapon, and I just use that shit, because the only way you can upgrade is if you pick up the weapon while your ammo is full with that weapon. So it's like your assault rifle has to be fully loaded in order to actually get an upgrade credit. So I would just walk around and I would use my rocket launchers and fucking lock-on lasers and shit like that. And I ended up doing that the entire time, and I had both of them. Mm-hmm. I had both the assault rifle and the heavy machine gun both maxed out before I was done with Act 3.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid of that. Well, I did the same thing with Vanquish, but I think that did it right, where it was like you weren't like getting heavier guns. It's like what you wanted to upgrade, you could, and it was depending on what was on the map, and then you held that. Doesn't matter. Like if you ran out of ammo, you got new ammo, you still had that weapon. Whereas, I don't know, something like Halo, I got the rocket launcher, I was like, I'm not going to use this right now.
Right.
I'm going to stick with my Magnum. Fuck you guys.
Now going on that train of thought, what's amusing for me is the fact that I felt like an idiot just the first time I sat down with my brother-in-law, who was playing a game, and the first time he got to a shop, he just basically just sold everything he had and bought everything new for like all the upgraded stuff. And I'm just staring at him playing like, you know, I never thought to do that. It's like the thought had never even freaking crossed my mind.
See, now I will
that
admit,
I could sell this stuff and have more money.
Yeah, the whole selling thing, I've always
done
that.
You're like such a retard.
But I'll admit that I'm not doing that with Dragon Quest IX, because they have all the whole thing with the alchemy, and you can like mix items and weapons and shit like that and create other stuff. So right now with Dragon Quest IX, I'm not selling anything. Of course, mm-hmm. I haven't really needed money in that game either. I mean, that's one of those games where I can actually get to the next town, buy everything in the shop, and have like $5,000 left over. You know, because you get money fast in that game.
I was playing Dragon Age, and I kept picking up like emeralds, onyx, and all these like different gems and jewels in Origins, and I had no idea what they were going to be used for. There was like one quest that asked for garnet. And then everything else was there was no mention of it anywhere by anyone, by any NPC. So it's like I'm constantly sitting there thinking, like, should I sell this stuff? Nah, I'll wait till later. And then eventually my inventory fills up completely because I'm carrying around all these damn freaking jewels.
That you never
I don't
sold.
Know whether to hold on to them.
Dude, I'm the exact same way.
Yeah.
it's like if you said you got over that, teach me.
Yeah.
Teach me, because I cannot do it. It doesn't matter what game it is. I cannot. I don't want to sell shit. I want to
if
hoard
you don't
everything.
Have it,
I'm afraid
if
of like
unequipped something and equipped a new one. Then that's the time to sell that item because you're never going to re-equip it.
Well, okay. Perfect example is like Final Fantasy 13, whereas like they offer a thing where you can take a fucking weapon and you can upgrade it with like. I don't know, bullshit you can put into it or whatever all these things
in it. Well, that's a separate thing. If you have a sword that has like an element in it or something like that, there's reason to keep it.
Until
you get a better one of that element.
Well, okay, I don't know if that happened in Final Fantasy because I'm not a big Final Fantasy guy. But the thing was that I can understand was if you got any kind of weapon, you could add in components and make it better. So my thing was I'd get a bunch of components but have the base weapon and be like, why the fuck would I waste my components on this base weapon? I wait till I get a better weapon.
Then this
I get
would be that a better, great training session for after that, recording.
That
just
better
saying.
Weapon. I'd be like, well, I'm just going to wait for another weapon. And then you find out that the first weapon you had is the best weapon in the game. If you put all these fucking enhancements in it, it's fucking awesome. Kills everything. And I can't.
So what else annoys you people? Speaking of.
Here's what doesn't annoy me is a voicemail.
Was that a cue to play a voicemail?
Yeah.
I'm on my way home. I'm in the city.
That's what
he's up to.
He beat someone up, didn't he?
Having a good time. Hey, Chris, I heard it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Chris.
Hey, thanks, man.
Fucking have a good day. Hope it's good. Hey, you know what, man? I was in the city. I'm still in the city. I was on a boat. I was out on a boat. It was a 5-hour fucking harbor cruise. Beautiful night, mate. Fucking warm as. Loving it. I'm on my way home. But anyway, when I was on that boat, guess where my face was?
Oh, God.
Can't guess. That's right. And it was there for two different ones. Twice. And I wouldn't want to get the third right now as I'm walking past, but they don't notice. Ah, fucking. Oh, so much quality. And I drank a lot. So I just went down on two of them. One of them was nice, young Lebanese girl. The other one, I don't know what she was. I don't think her boyfriend was right there. I think he was cool with it, actually.
But I think it was a girl.
And that was all nice. Anyway, oh shit, there's about four walking towards me. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to try and grab some of these. Have a good night. Happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris.
I was on a boat. And that's I went awesome. Down on two different chicks.
Well, one of them was definitely a chick. The other one, I don't know.
The other one, well, she was into it. That's fine.
I fucking love that guy, man. He's hilarious. Fluffy lives the life that every single man wants to live. That's what it all boils down to.
Well, except if you don't like paying for expensive video games.
Way to bring that up onto a completely different topic. All right.
Travis. The email, Jeff Wildman, Better Tomorrow, says your feature discussion last week got me thinking when you talk about how there are so many games to play this generation and it's easy to get distracted by another game. I was wondering, in this generation, what games have you completed more than one playthrough? Sadly for myself, there hasn't been too many. The Darkness, Resident Evil 5, Fallout 3, and New Vegas. Mass Effect 2, Fear 2, and Gears of War, Medal of Honor, Airborne, and the recently Dead Space 2, which I am actually into my third playthrough right now.
Wow.
That may sound like a lot reading them out, but in the grand scheme of things, it's only a tiny handful. But they are the select few that I have enjoyed so much that I've just had to play them again. How about you guys? P.S. Gotta thank Jeff for the Dead Space 2 hype prior to its release. I literally had no interest, being that I could never get into the original game, but due to its talking about how good it was, I took a gamble and loved it. Also, I went back to the original and loved it too. Thanks, guys.
Good Better shit. Tomorrow.
Hey, why don't we come back to this?
Thank you, Better Tomorrow. Well, I can come back to the question for sure.
Yeah, I think we could talk about this a little bit more than we should right now. So let's come back to this.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
The Emmy dog.
We'll see whether or not I'm there for that. But what I will say is that I actually made a resolution like 2 years ago or something like that to finish a game before moving on to the next. So I tend not to get distracted my own habits.
How often
anymore.
Do you actually do that? Like percentage-wise?
Most of the time. There are very few times. Percentage time, I would say maybe 90% of the time right now I'll finish a game before moving on to the next.
Wow, that's impressive, dude.
Yeah, it more so on the console. Like if I'm sitting at the TV on my couch and playing a game, then it's about 90% of the time. If it's a computer game, I'll bounce around because I just don't like sitting in this room.
Yeah, I got you. That's cool.
Anyway.
Hey, Travis, you got another email?
No, that's it for me.
In that case, I have one more voicemail.
Ooh. It's time for another edition of...
Fool You!
Oh. Random questions from Aces High.
Hey, guys, what's going on? This is Aces High, another edition of Random Questions. My two questions this week are, what was the last roller coaster you've ridden, and what is the last Blu-ray that you've bought?
All right.
Oh, shit. Can I explain the intro to that first?
Yes, I want to know where the Spaceballs reference came from. Please tell me.
Yeah, it's kind of Tampax, but we're playing Street Fighter. It was like, I guess, a couple nights ago, and I can't remember who I was fighting. I was fighting somebody, and I totally, like, baited them out of something, and my reaction, I just said, "Fooled you!" then we had about 10 minutes discussing where that came from, and then we realized it was Spaceballs, and then we discussed... Oh shit, what part of Spaceballs was it? Then we just decided it was like the scene where he's giving the ring he's like fakes the guy out for giving it to him, and then we're like, yeah, that's the scene, that's the scene. That's and then it turns out it was not that scene whatsoever.
It's not that scene.
It's a scene
whatsoever.
Where he gets a princess to come out.
That's right.
And he's dressed.
When he's dressed up like his father.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ooh, no. I think that's awesome. He actually used that as a soundbite. That's fucking rad.
Cool story, bro.
For the record, I know that movie way too well for my own good. All right. Whoa. So, first question. What was the last roller coaster you rode? Boris.
Probably Tatsu over at the Six Flags Magic Mountain out here, which is an amazing freaking ride. The seats will tilt parallel to the track so that you're basically lying on the track, but then it's also an inverted coaster, so you're just hanging towards the ground.
Nice.
It's an amazing coaster.
I love those. Travis?
Yeah, I don't know the name of it. It was in Six Flags over Atlanta, so I don't know.
Okay, Jeff?
My first roller coaster?
No, the last one you rode.
The last one you rode.
Oh, that changes everything. Wow.
The last one I rode besides the one I pussied out on was probably...
What?
I pussied out on one big time, like last year or last summer. But the last one I was actually on was on Top Gun at Canada's Wonderland. It's crazy shit. It's good stuff. It's like one of the ones where you're like suspended, like your legs are hanging out.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Time we go a bunch of loops and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of afraid of heights. So the one I pussied out on was something called the Behemoth, where you're basically, it doesn't go upside down or nothing, but you're literally in a small little seat with a little tiny thing covering your legs, but you can totally like lean over to the left or to the right, depending on where you're sitting.
Yeah, you see that? I'm sorry. That's very interesting. Your voice is very low for a woman.
Wait, I have a sister?
Oh, shit. Good point. Yeah, that's touche, but I, yeah, I totally posted out because I'm afraid of heights, and that thing is, like, the highest drop in, like, all of, like, Canada or something in terms of roller coasters, and I was like, hey, not getting on that shit. Fuck that. Because the thing is, we actually had drinks to build up the courage to get onto it, but the lineup was so big, by the time it got to about 10 minutes away, I sobered up, and I was like, no. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do this. It's going to go down. And this is going to be awesome. And then, see you guys. I'm going to go sit over there and, yeah. And I'll watch you guys.
Let me give you a little bit of a perspective on this. There's a coaster at Magic Mountain called the Colossus that causes you to black out about two-thirds of the way through the coaster.
That is
because
awesome.
Of the centripetal force.
It's like 20
G-force.
Like
so great that you black out.
That is pretty cool.
That would be awesome. That would be pretty cool.
Last coaster I rode was probably the Hulk in Islands of Adventure in Orlando.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I think that's where the one – it's one of the ones in there. I don't remember what the last one was before we left, but I think that it was the Hulk. It's a good coaster.
Was it green?
Yes, it is green.
Nice.
All right, last Blu-ray that you bought.
Oh, Inception.
Okay.
Avatar.
Okay.
Mine was either Inception or Despicable Me, one or the other. One of those.
I'll be
two.
Alone on this one. Mine was Laugh It Up Fuzzball.
What?
Oh no, what? I got that too, but I can't remember if I got it before or after those two.
Laugh It what Up is Fuzzball that? Is the is the Family Guy Star Wars trilogy.
Oh, okay.
On Blu-ray.
Oh,
so
I
do own that, Chris. I just don't know when I get it.
That was the last one I bought.
How much is that on I'm assuming you got
like,
it from Amazon.
I got it on Amazon. I think it was like $20 when I bought it.
Really?
Dude, yeah. I got the full set, all three of the Star Wars remakes for a thing for $27.
That's
on
hot.
Blu-ray.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good price. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Cool. Thank you very much, Aces. Make sure to check him out at Irrational Passions. You can find that show on the other podcast section on VG Evo. All right, we got one thing left. Let's do question of the week.
All right.
Ooh.
Hey, Better Tomorrow, we really liked your email. So we're going to kind of take that and move it into question of the week area. So question of the week next week. What does it take for you to actually do multiple playthroughs of a game? What type of qualities does a game have to have? What does it have to do to make you enticed enough to play it more than once? You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. Send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost late, but it's not.
Follow us on Twitter. Totally we are not. Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
And Geoff. Boris, what is your Twitter?
And the masses of Canada.
My Twitter is Boris T.I.
Boris T.I.
That's right.
Check out Boris over at Game Crashers. Hey, Boris, pimp your shit.
All right, well, Game
Pimp
Crashers.
It like no other, but fuck that Rob guy.
Now, if you want to listen to us, head on over to GameCrashers.net. We got all of our reviews, news editorials, and podcasts mm-hmm. all nicely lined up in a row.
It's like the Brady Bunch of podcasting.
Yeah, we're so pure. We don't talk about anything filthy.
I just mean there's so
it's
many
great.
Of you.
It's a fam. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that too.
For the Game Crashers, the Smurfs, is definitely not enough. Offended by that.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob would be reliable Smurf. Anyway,
reliable Smurf.
Anyway, no, but we actually have three different podcasts there. Also, we have our regular show, the Game Crashers Radio. We have the Stage Select, which is all listener questions from you guys, and some of our own that we just kind of seed in,
which
that we talk about anyway.
Which Jeff and I actually helped out with one.
Yeah, did you guys yep. enjoy doing that?
That
show?
Was fun as shit.
That was
dude.
Fun
we had
as
a good
shit,
time.
Dude. I had a great.
Yeah, that
time.
was the
yeah.
final.
Where the
boss.
Fuck
so,
were you?
So you guys were essentially the final.
Hey,
boss.
No, back the fuck up.
I was probably having sex with a woman.
Okay, whoa.
What were you doing?
Playing Magic.
Yeah.
and thanks for inviting me on.
Actually,
by the way.
Actually, I heard Boris, you were out having beers with the other people on the show that weren't going to make it. So unless you call them women and that you're having sex with them. I'm not going to put any label on you.
Well, the missus was with us, and I was getting her well enough drunk for what I intended to do later
oh,
on.
Oh, so you need to get your wife drunk in order to have sex with her?
No. I don't need to.
You just prefer to. Or does she prefer? Sorry.
Let's. What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, the podcasts, yes. Stage Select. Yeah, listen to the Final Boss episode, and you'll be able to hear some of this Indus crap on there. And we also have the Game Apocalypse, which is Sean Marks playing as much crap as he possibly can. So things like box office bust, Leisure Suit Larry.
Wait, was he the one who got you laid that day?
What was that?
Nothing.
How about those roller coasters, huh?
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show, Boris. We appreciate it.
Dude, my pleasure.
Sure. Had a
thanks
good time.
Thanks
awesome.
For having
Hope
me.
Hope you had a good time.
No, I had a great time.
That is all I have. The other thing I was going to say is make sure you check out VG Evo and Cast Medium and check us out on those two websites. And check out our Facebook group at Interactive Distractions Podcast. You guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
I don't think so.
I do. Quick shout-outs to Poop and Flames, Brittany from the Noobgeteers, and the Irrational Passions Podcast. I asked that they if anyone wanted shout-outs, and
shout-outs.
They said, throw us one. So there it is, guys. Holla.
What up?
Right. Oh, and Brittany.
I'll just say thanks for this, Rob.
And Brittany wanted to tell our listeners that us, as the Indus crew, are stupid for not going to PAX this year.
Yeah.
How was it?
No, yeah, well, true. You're stupid for not going to... No, you're not. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And check out Industream
Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. Yep. And we have a topic now on VG Evo about that. And we are on the calendar mm-hmm. thanks to Mr. Jack Bauer. Thank you very much, Jack
That's
Bauer.
Right.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
He's the man.
Love that guy.
That is our show. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please tell us about
it. Hit up Indus Questions, guys. But again, we're going too late. Next week, for sure, we'll hit him up. Definitely. We got a queue going. We'll get this shit done next week.
If you enjoyed it, tell a few friends about us.
Hey, man, you're going to make fun of it. People have been fucking, you know, they're putting in the effort.
And if you didn't enjoy it, go over to GameCrashers.net.
Yeah, you know, apparently, all the people that fucking wrote in,
excuse me, I'm going to hang up
fucking
on Boris
questions
now,
are all going to go over to Game Crashers. This is Chris laughing at you guys, not me.
Thank you guys for listening. I don't know where I was anymore.
I don't
know
either.
iTunes
where
or
are you?
Marketplace, please leave us a review.
A+.
A+.
Actually, upon thinking about it further, Rob's probably Drunky Smurf.
Drunky Smurf.
Please leave a review. We will appreciate it. So, for Interactive Distractions, I am Travis.
Oh, crap. Now what order do we go in? I'm Chris.
I'm Jeff.
And that's Boris.
And he's I'm Boris.
Play your games.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Later.